The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout.
It's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and the team is getting ready to host the Cincinnati Bengals, the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals here Sunday night. Big Sunday night in America football game, and the Patriots need to see if what they're made of. What's the matter? That's what they call it.
Big Sunday night in America football game.
That's what they call
game.
It, Sunday night in America.
Football night in America.
Who's football?
They don't call it Sunday night in America.
Who's they? I call it what I want to call it. Anyway, it's a big
no,
game.
No, I know.
It's a big
you
game.
You call players what you want to call players. You call knights what you want to call knights.
That's right.
It is a big game, and it has your foundation shaken a little bit, I think.
You think the game has the foundation or the way they're playing?
Well, both. I think you would feel better if they weren't facing what some people believe is one of the best teams in football.
No, as I contradict that. I'm glad that they're having this test now.
You want to know your team sucks?
I want to know who my team is. And I think the players want to know who they are, too. If you listen to them yesterday and they're asking about, you know, sense of urgency and all this stuff, what they will respond, a lot of the guys, you know, said, we'll see. It wasn't the definitive, you know, we're going to turn it around. We know what this team is made of. All that stuff, it's not what we've heard in the past. It's more, well, we'll find out type of answers.
Correct. And also contradictory. If you remember, I questioned Brady last year in Buffalo when they won that game. He was immediately said, I know one thing, we're going to fight. We're going to be a team that's going to blah, blah, blah. And he went down this whole thing. And I was like, wow, that's a little weird to just one game in say that's who we are. Now, four games in, he ain't saying that.
Right.
He's saying, we'll see. Matthew Slater's curious, although if you read all of Matthew Slater's quotes, other places he kind of says he does feel like they'll come out and be resilient and respond. But I do think a couple captains wondering what Sunday night will bring, what response they will get, is interesting.
Certainly Brady has said the phrase, we'll see, quite a bit when asked about, you know, can the people around you get better? Can the offense get better? He's not sure. He's not sure.
Can we get the clip ready, Kevin? What is it? Everyone sucks but me.
Everyone sucks but me.
Yeah, well, You know, there's now there's.
Do you have enough talent around you?
Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see.
Everyone sucks, but me.
You know that is.
Oh no, we suck again.
That does not sound like the Tom Brady early training camp when he was by name talking about his wide receivers.
Well, yeah, half of them don't play.
Naming them all.
Should probably get
to
that.
So something between then and now has got him wondering. And, you know, now there's a report by Shalice Manza-Young of the Boston Globe that Aaron Dobson was benched, not because of some type of game plan that they wanted to do against the Kansas City Chiefs, but because he was mouthing off to Josh McDaniels. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what she's reporting, according to a source. And she talked to some players privately. I know she does. So to me, that's bad because...
That's bad.
You know, instead of just being able to handle that, you know, the team felt that they needed to bench the guy, you know, to put a stop to that. And that's troubling. It's troubling.
Now, Jerry Thornton has already refuted it.
Yes.
Jerry Thornton, who reports for, I don't know who. Jerry Thornton, I guess.
Well, yeah, he's his own man.
Your colleague.
He's his
I'm
own
sure
man.
He's my colleague.
Yeah, well, you're often on the show with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, co-host. Oh, yeah.
Sure. But he refutes it, says the source lied to her.
Okay.
Now, I told you, I tend to think it's sort of an interpretation thing. I think there's a chance she talked to a player, and a player said, you know, and plus we got, you know, Dobson inactive because he was yelling at Josh that day. And the player may believe that. That may or may not be true. That may or may not be the reason he's inactive. But if the player believes it, he tells Shalice, and, you know, it just kind of goes. So the bottom line is these are the types of things that pop up on teams that,
right.
you know, aren't good and are
right.
struggling and are searching for answers and yep. fingers are pointing and all that.
Yeah.
It's as somebody told me on Twitter, this is what the rest of the league has felt like for the last 15 years. Why do they still watch football?
Yeah. So that's why.
Shalice Manza-Young, by the way, tweeted out shortly, I stand by my reporting. Thanks for the love, though, at Jerry Thornton.
Well, I don't think Jerry Thornton said she was wrong.
No.
So he's not disputing
she was lied to by a source.
Right. He's not disputing what she was told.
Now, he could be lied to by a source.
That's true. Right? Somebody could be lying to him.
Beauty of PFW is we have no sources, so nobody
right.
lies to us.
Right. It's all speculation.
No one likes us very much.
It's all speculation. Oh, my goodness.
Eric's here. Right off the practice field where people are analyzing where Tom Brady stretches.
I'd say an olive V-neck. Because we are in sweater
I'd say
season.
Hunter.
It's more Hunter.
Hunter
yeah.
green.
Yeah, more Hunter green.
I thought it was a little light for Hunter, but okay.
No, it's a little dark for olive.
Yeah. All right. I'll go with Hunter green no. V-neck. It
right.
is sweater season.
Yeah, and yeah. The waffle weave is back. And
waffle
Paul
weave.
Loves
yeah.
that declaration. The waffle weave. The waffle characterization.
Now,
of
is
the,
there a layer beyond
shirt?
That? Is there a layer underneath
no,
that?
No, just those two.
Okay.
Long johns.
Right.
Well, there is, but it's his natural sweater.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Hey, I got one too. It happens. Yeah. Fred's got one too. He just shakes
oh,
it with
I know.
That big machine.
Sure.
Did you tell him what he said to you in the press box the other day?
I forget.
We were in Kansas City and Giardi comes walking. Our buddy Giardi comes walking by and he gives like a look over at Fred and sees that Fred's got his button down is actually pretty buttoned up all the way to the neck and he goes something like Good to see you're keeping it clean today or something like that. Remember?
Yeah, this is something.
Like, he was making some joke
cute.
About
he's
the
Mr.
fact
tough
that...
guy lately.
He is Mr. Tough Guy lately. Yeah. With Brady, yeah. with Belichick, with Fred.
I love, too, the film review. And he posts some stuff and he's like ripping guys like, look at the effort on this play here. And he's like ripping Collins, ripping Delano, ripping McCourty.
You think he's going through some like midlife crisis where he's sick of being like sort of.
Yeah,
the,
I think he's trying to break out of the mold.
The shadow.
Yeah.
Like he wants people to know who Mike Giardi is, damn it.
Until he stops watching
Giardi.
Training camp practice from a beach towel. I think
with no shoes.
Right. I think he's going to have a trouble breaking out of that mold.
So, Eric, were you concerned like others on Twitter where Brady was stretching?
Well, he's been stretching there for the past 2 weeks.
Well, that's what I heard. Early in the year, he was stretching with Garoppolo.
Right.
Now
then,
he doesn't.
Right, but I... Yeah, but I first reported that a couple of weeks ago.
Battle brewing?
Remember? When I
right,
came
when
back.
He realized the season was sucking and there was a chance he was going to get replaced soon.
Yeah, he now stretches down where Edelman and the O-line stretch.
He can only stretch with Edelman. He's not on the same page stretching with the others.
He's the only one who likes him.
It is odd.
I don't even think Edelman likes him. He's just like... bows down to him.
Well, I mean, no, to me, it is odd because a lot of athletes are creatures of habit.
Sure.
You know, they like, and coaches are the same way, they like things to be a certain way. When those stretching lines form every year, it's always offense one side, defense the other, and the quarterbacks have always been in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But even among the offense and the defense, there are, you know, mostly position groups, for the most part, stretched together. There are a few outliers to that. But in general, you know basically where a guy is based on his the position he plays, where he is in the stretching line. Now, today, I don't know if anybody made mention of this, but Chandler Jones, who normally stretches at the very far end of the defense with Vince Wilfork, was up at the front end of the defense near the quarterbacks and the linebackers. And a little curious that he popped up on the injury report. We saw him getting some shoulder work during the Chiefs game, but he continued to play. But all of a sudden, a guy pops up on the injury report, and suddenly he's in a spot where he usually isn't. Because for most of the practice, we were taking notes. Most of us thought he wasn't there, and then finally we spotted him late at the end. Little weird things like that. You know, maybe there's gamesmanship behind it. Maybe there isn't. Maybe, you know, the fact that all we get to watch is stretching, we have to read too much into what we
do. And you'll be happy to watch that.
Well, today we were. Yeah, we got to see the whole stretching, finally.
Getting into the injury report yesterday, they had a walkthrough. And I know when they put those out, it's sort of a projected practice report, right, based on. But two guys missed it with finger injuries. So they would have missed practice with finger injuries?
They actually did miss practice today, both of those guys, with finger injuries.
That's a bad injury.
I saw after the game when we were waiting in the
tunnel. Well, it was ripped off.
But even
well,
then.
Still, I mean, Ronnie Lott had his cut off.
Right, and he went back in.
Yeah.
You couldn't make practice?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
You couldn't even be limited?
For anybody other than a skilled guy, a running back or a wide receiver, I could see. But
right.
I'm kind of with,
I know what it
with
is.
The boys here.
They flipped the middle finger to the coaches.
To Josh.
Now they're being suspended. Right. That's
suspended.
What it is.
So no, not
Ebner,
just Josh.
Ebner and Cameron Fleming.
Cameron Fleming, okay.
Like, Ebner couldn't be out there and run around and just not touch anybody, be limited. I'm not saying he could do every single thing. He's going to miss practice. You're right. Maybe it's gone. Maybe they're searching for the finger. It's on ice somewhere, and they're going to reattach it.
Right.
Ugh.
So
Ronnie Lott would have played.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it is the Brady thing is a little weird. It wouldn't have been weird if he started off the year that way.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's where they started off. That's how they,
maybe
you know, that's how it
smells.
I'm sorry. Paul and I were dealing with lunch. Were they in full pads today?
They were today, yes.
Full pads.
Yeah. Paul and I were dealing with lunch.
Yeah. All right.
So I think it's a little odd that, you know, after a few weeks, he decides, I'm going to move somewhere else and stretch.
You know, Hightower really cropped up yesterday with a knee, and I saw the play in which he got hurt.
Me too. I thought he tore his ACL.
Yeah, Hightower.
They mocked me.
And he was limping around, and
you
but he stayed
me.
In.
I did, because the fact that he didn't leave the field when you declared it a torn ACL.
Well, because he didn't know at the time it was a torn ACL.
Well, why do you do that?
Didn't it look horrific?
No.
Then you weren't watching the right play.
Which play were you referring to?
The one where he got up and was
horrific.
Limping around.
No, I mean,
wait,
what,
did you see the play, though?
What
yes.
was the play?
Or did you just see him limping around? Because if you didn't see what made him
I saw
limp,
him go down and I saw him get up.
So you didn't see his knee bend in a strange way?
It did. It did look bad.
Yeah. Okay.
In Andy's defense.
So you didn't see
bad.
It. Just say you didn't see it. It's okay.
I didn't see the actual knee
okay,
bend.
Okay, so you didn't. I just asked you if you saw it and you said yes.
But if the guy gets
don't
up,
lie to me.
If the guy gets up and he's walking around, why do you say it's a torn ACL?
No one's ever walked off on a torn ACL?
Not,
do you know anything about ACLs?
They walk around. Usually they stay down until it's examined.
No, there's
and then
been plenty of guys
up,
that have walked off.
And then they get up.
There's been plenty of guys that have walked off on torn ACLs.
Yeah, after the doctor examines
no.
it.
You just base it on that?
Okay. And what are you basing it on?
I was gonna,
experience?
Yeah, okay.
But you're
so by looking
it on
at a guy,
ACL.
You know he has a torn ACL.
No, I don't.
So then why do you say that?
Because it looked like he tore his ACL.
You don't. It's unbelievable.
At least I saw the play. You can't say you didn't think he tore it because you didn't see the play.
Were you wrong?
I don't know.
Which play?
Oh,
for all
know?
I know, he has a partially torn ACL.
Oh, okay. So our doctors are idiots then, because he's back out there.
Because you can't play with an ACL, because Logan Mankins didn't play a whole year on an ACL.
God.
Oh,
which
Phillip
play
Rivers
are you talking about?
I mean, NFC Championship
huh?
game.
Which
one?
Play are you referring to?
I don't know. It was him in the backfield, and his knee just bent.
Like early on, later,
he went down like
no, I think it was like the third quarter.
I thought it was the first half, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
it didn't look good.
Making a tackle?
No, getting hit. He burst through behind the line of scrimmage, and this leg bent weird, and then this leg bent weird. It was awkward.
And according to Andy, he did the monster mash, because that's what he kind of looked like when he was playing. It's just literally 5-6 times this year, Indy's declared somebody down and out with a serious injury.
Well, he's got the and that's what Brian Morey does.
And most somebody of those guys haven't even appeared on an injury report.
He's done.
Yet.
He's dead.
Did
he's out for the season.
On? Was Hightower on?
Yeah.
He was on.
So I was right.
So at least I'll give you the fact that there was an injury sustained on the play. Unlike Revis.
Oh, definitely. I saw him limping around, and I was happy that he stayed on the field.
I actually saw the play that he's talking about. We both looked at it. I just laughed at him because he immediately declared it a torn ACL.
Right.
You know, when the guy's up. I mean, if the guy lays you see the guy get hit like that, and then he's down, if he says, well, I think he tore his ACL, okay, that makes sense, but he's up. So it wasn't that bad.
You don't know that.
No, I don't. I don't. That's why I don't declare it a torn ACL, because I don't know.
But it could be.
Yeah, he could be abducted by aliens too.
No,
you know?
See that?
Did I see
sure
a spaceship run into him?
Put that on the injury report. You think?
Yeah, missing.
DNP,
yeah, NFI abduction? Or something like that.
You if I saw a spaceship,
I think they have a list.
If I saw a UFO hover over him with a green beam down on him, and then he wasn't at practice the next day, I might say he could have been abducted by aliens.
So you saw the X-ray.
So that's the. No, I saw the injury.
So you don't know anything.
I saw the injury, unlike you. Okay. You're continuing to argue on something you didn't see, which I find fascinating.
I see him on the field.
So? Did you see Logan Mankins on the field for 16 straight weeks after tearing his ACL in week one?
I saw him on the field part of it.
Well,
because it's useless.
Because there's plenty of guys that have played through
but
serious
injuries.
Usually
not linebackers. You know, that guys that have to run long distances.
Sean Merriman tore his ACL and played the first 2 weeks before he went on IR.
What the hell are you talking about?
You don't know what you're talking about.
No, you don't. And we should keep talking because you expose that
more
and
more. There are examples of guys with serious injuries that try to play through them.
Yeah, he's not one of them.
Okay.
He's not one of them.
That's every bit as silly as his argument, just so you know.
Oh, can you cover your mouth, please? Jeez.
I did.
This is covering your mouth?
Yes.
You're supposed
over here
to
now.
Cough or sneeze.
I know,
your
but
arm.
I wasn't in the right position.
God, you sure you don't have a bowl or something?
No, but you see Jared Allen was playing with pneumonia?
Huh?
He was playing with pneumonia?
Yeah.
That's not
Yeah, that's good. Not good.
No.
Yeah.
They made him? Did they know he was playing with pneumonia?
I don't know. I didn't read the whole story.
Andy knew from the way he looked that he had a pneumonia.
The way he walked
you don't
on
know
the
from,
field.
You right. don't know from pneumonia.
Right.
I could tell his
he
lung
could
tell. Had collapsed.
He could tell.
Oh, shut up. That's funny.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500. Toll free.
Can I ask a question? Is it good or bad if Shalisa's story is true?
It's bad.
It's bad.
It is.
Why would it be good? How
well,
because
he
good?
Doesn't just suck. He's being disciplined.
Well, I actually think it's good, and I didn't want to get yelled at.
You think it's good that
for
he's
that
mouthed
same reason?
Off? One of the reasons that he said, I don't think it's right.
But it could be both. He could suck and he mouthed off. To
well, yes, now that's really bad.
That would be even worse.
Right. Yes, that would be really, really bad.
Being benched because you mouthed off doesn't discount you sucking. You know,
right?
That's
but
still out
I don't,
there.
We were going with the assumption like he's just not good enough to play. They don't want him on the team,
right? It's a
right, and
it's a better explanation in terms of us scratching our head and wondering
but here,
why.
But
now,
here's the thing,
yeah.
I would assume that the reason he mouthed off was because he wasn't happy with what he was being asked to do,
right?
Which would lead me to believe that they don't think he's good enough, and he thinks he is. Why else would you mouth off to a coach?
Well, he didn't play against the Raiders either, right?
Well, that's what Shalice said.
Right,
those
right.
two games. It was two games.
Yeah.
He didn't play against Miami.
But he didn't play against
Minnesota.
Game.
But he played against Minnesota.
And then missed the
and
last
then they
two
took
games.
Him out. So, I mean, we don't know what he was, if he mouthed off or what he was mouthing off about.
Right.
But
it
I'm
could
saying, be that, hey, man, why aren't I part of the game plan, you know?
Right. But
you're
if,
off
if,
for two games.
Yeah, but that's
say,
not mouthing
that,
off.
Right.
That's asking a legitimate question and talking over your
well,
situation.
Well, you can think about that when you sit the next 2 weeks. How's that?
Right.
I mean, don't you think he had to say something pretty?
He would have, would have
loudly
to,
right.
And
right.
And we, vulgar.
We were talking about got suspended for a series for doing absolutely nothing. So
yeah, but that's different. That's,
we were. Did you guys mention the Browner thing?
No.
We made the comparison upstairs about Brandon Browner and Chad O'Shea during the summer.
He should be suspended for a game.
That was more than mouthing off. That was close to a physical confrontation.
Oh yeah.
The training camp
and O'Shea?
Thing. Yeah, you remember that day? That
I do remember them yelling, but
they yelled at each other.
They got
right in their faces.
They got right in each other's faces.
They had to be separated. Then the other position coach got into
Boyer
it a little
came
bit.
Over
that whole
sort of.
Period was a nasty.
And they laughed it off.
Yeah. But they laughed it off.
We'd never seen it before.
But that's in the heat of competition. I think
how do we know that Dobson's? We don't.
But I mean, I don't think it was, it would be different. But you know, if it was like in a meeting room or something. You know, it wasn't on the field. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's all in the heat of competition.
Yeah, see, to me, it's
if you're watching video and Brady's throwing to Edelman for the sixth straight time while Dobson's wide open on the, you know, why don't we just keep feeding that guy? God forbid you throw to me on the bat. Like, that's the heat of competition.
Well, we don't know the setting it happened.
No, but it's all competition.
Anything like that to me is competition. That's the heat of the moment.
He's competing for his professional life.
I just think the setting of sitting in a classroom is a little bit on the little bit different than on the practice field. Guys are hitting and all that. I just think it's a little different.
It might be a little different, but I still think he would have had to have said something really bad.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not discounting that. I don't like the idea of an NFL player getting suspended for two games for mouthing off to a coach. I can't really imagine a player mouthing off to the extent that it warrants sitting
especially
out
him.
Two
unless
games.
It wasn't the first time and it's a repeated.
Yeah, it certainly like it. Seems to be out of character for him.
Yeah. I don't know.
Everything we've had in dealing with Aaron Dobson, I would not have picked him as a guy that would have.
I wouldn't pick that, and I don't like the idea of it.
I'll bleep and kill you, bleep your mother with her bleep.
I'm sorry, but if I don't believe that something like that happened, but
I don't really either. But if it did, I think it's what it
is. Paul, there would be.
If that happened, he should be off the team.
Right.
Gone.
Probably.
Released. Gone.
Maybe he didn't say the mother part.
You know,
just
but that's Latrell Sprewell.
Right.
Gone. See
right.
ya.
Right.
Okay? If that happened. And that's different. But so he's on the team, so I'm assuming that didn't happen.
So do you buy the report?
I'm not necessarily sure of the report.
I'm not either.
Yeah, I.
You know, what about the first game? Why didn't he play that game?
He wasn't healthy yet.
Well.
And then when he got healthy, he started yelling.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the argument's over, his health.
Could be.
You know?
Well, then why isn't he on the health report?
Again, I've told you that a million times.
Same reason Alfonso Dennard wasn't until you guys apparently had a really bumpy flight to Minnesota and he hurt his shoulder.
So it's amazing we were able to play that game after that flight.
He hurt his knee.
Right? That was the week.
Even if Shalise was lied to, the fact that people are talking isn't good. You know? That's just
maybe she was lied to. I don't know, but it doesn't get past
certainly her. Not good because the last time people were talking to Shalise, it was 2009, right?
Right. At you know.
And this was a team. I just can't get this team to do what I wanted.
Right. So it's
the similarities between 2009.
So
the similarities are coming.
So the question is: there's no doubt that there's problems down there. You know, whether it's just guys wondering how they're going to respond, the overall play, questions being asked, fingers being pointed. Who's leading the charge to make that better? That's now what we have to figure out. Who is leading the charge?
Bill Belichick.
Well, you'd also hope it's your captains. That's why you elect captains.
You hope, you know. So Vince Wilfork, Tom Brady, Matthew Slater. Mm-hmm. Who's the lineman? Connolly now? Is he a captain?
Yeah, that's part of the problem. A captain who doesn't talk, by the way.
Right.
They let Nate Solder, who is, you would think maybe your starting left tackle, the most important position, arguably, on the offensive line, would be that person who would be the captain. But he always talks, and he's not a captain. Dan Connolly is a captain, never talks.
But Connolly's hurt, right? And hasn't he had two injuries?
No.
I thought he had a knee and then a foot.
This year? No.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, but I don't think it ever – obviously, he's played through
it. No.
He had that ACL, and he's playing through it. I'm only kidding.
Oh, I was like, what?
You're an idiot.
I don't remember Conley having an injury.
No.
I thought he was on the injury report for weeks two and three.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. I was 99% sure he was.
Yeah,
maybe.
I remember.
Yeah, he's certainly not on it now.
No, he's not this week. But
maybe he was.
You had the last couple?
No, I don't.
Wendell was on.
No, I know Wendell was.
But he's no longer on it either.
He no longer plays.
Well, he played last game.
But anyway, my point is, yesterday
they all got the letter in that game.
Yesterday we talked to some of the captains, Slater, McCourty.
Yes.
Brady and Solder among them. And I thought it was kind of telling that, you know, Slater was pretty confident. You know, I think we've got the guys on the team that can make these changes. And Solder, yeah, we have the guys. There are problems, but they can be fixed, and we have the guys to fix them. Brady, we'll see. I hope so.
Right.
Slater actually sort of talked out of both sides of his mouth, too. He said he was confident, but then he said he's curious to see the response we'll have on Sunday, which is less than confident if you're curious, because it means you don't know.
I think he meant anxious, too. Like, he just can't wait to get back on the field and take care
of
it.
As much as we made fun of Rodney about, it's us against the world, everyone this, they need that guy right now.
Well,
right.
This one is, this is what they always said it was, is happening now.
Yeah.
It very rarely, if ever, happened in the past. But right now, there are a lot of people that don't believe they can win Sunday.
Absolutely. And I think Vince is the guy that has to do it, because I think he's got some a-hole in him. We always talk about that. He's got the a-hole. I think guys fear him a little bit.
Well, what if Gerard Mayo?
Nah. I don't think he's that guy.
You think it would be...
He'll come in tomorrow, 15 seconds
it would be
before the period ends.
It would be impactful if all of a sudden he did just start railing on guys. I think that would be impactful.
If it felt genuine.
Yeah. No, if it was.
I think it could. I think Vince is the one who could do it. I think people have a little... He's got a little edge to him. People aren't quite sure where he comes from.
But to me, I think that Vince will do it after the fact, which
then it's useless.
Loses luster.
Right.
Rodney would do it now.
Right.
Vince will wait till Vince will wait till they win on Sunday, and then he'll say...
I don't really think they have...
He'll stop pointing guys out.
He might be the closest one, but I don't think they really have anybody like that on this roster and haven't for a while.
I think Logan had a little bit of that to him.
Logan would do it.
We traded him.
Maybe.
Was he a loud talker? But see,
No.
Impactful.
Impactful.
He's the kind of guy that would get mad
but by example,
in
though,
game.
Right?
No, by words. No. They didn't yell him. He didn't preach him.
Yeah, but...
He's just going to say him.
In game, he would be like that. Mm-hmm. I would have a hard time seeing him do that in the locker room when it's not game
no,
day.
But he
oh,
would
no.
just...
I'm talking about we can run the ball, and we want that on our shoulders. This offensive line will get fixed. We know that we can blow teams off the line. That's the way he would talk. He would say that on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Right, but when guys weren't doing their job, what did he say to his teammates?
Oh, that's on the field. I have no idea what
any
of these guys are saying to their teammates.
Rodney Harrison would get in your face if you were late for lifting.
I have no idea.
That's what we're talking about.
Who does that?
Who's that guy? Who's the sergeant at arms?
But I can only go at what we see in the locker room. I didn't see sergeant at arms from anybody, ever.
Rodney Harrison.
I assume it happened, but I'm not assuming it's not happening now.
Wasn't Willie supposedly like that?
He might have been, yeah. Yeah.
You're leaving already?
Yeah.
You're leaving already? Yeah. Or, you're just getting here at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Or don't you have a playbook to study when Bethel Johnson's playing wiffle
ball
in the locker room?
That's who's that guy?
But how do you know that they don't have those guys?
I'm asking, who is it?
Rallying the troops with confidence, like Brady used to, instead of saying, we'll see.
Yeah.
Like Brady used to.
Fred said the same thing yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I know. I just find it funny.
But then again, maybe he was never tested the way he's being tested now, so you don't know.
He's back at Michigan.
He might
still
be
a little
be
Drew
the,
Henson.
Well, I'll tell you the difference.
He might be the same Brady, but...
It's never been about him. Questions have never
been
about him.
That's what I said to you yesterday. Every press conference is always, how does Brandon LaFell get on the same page? How does this guy... Yesterday it was you.
The whole thing.
Point where Alan Siegel said, no, you.
And he should have kept it him, as a leader.
Oh, yeah.
He shouldn't have said...
He and Giardi.
He should have never said the word they or me. I mean, they or, we. It should have been all I and me. That's the way to deflect everything that was being talked about. He's just adding to the fuel to the fire.
I agree with you.
And he brought up the salary cap and spending.
Right. So that's on his mind, It's just.
The ship is sinking.
Yeah. I mean, usually he handles.
Sunshine.com's right.
He handles, those press conferences a little
Matthew
better.
Matthew Slater.
I was disappointed.
Fred was disappointed yesterday.
I'd rather have him stand up and go, we're on to Cincinnati.
We have
than what he
bells
said.
In the back what are we doing? What is that?
What? Is that the dinner bell?
No, I was looking for an alarm when you said the ship is sinking. I thought I had one. That was an abandoned ship type alarm.
SOS.
All right.
We'll have that fire alarm go off again.
Well, I guess we should get to, the phones are ringing. The emails are coming in.
They're not ringing, Fred. They're staff.
You know how you say Brady doesn't breed confidence right now? Yeah. You don't breed confidence as the host of the show. We got emails and the phone is, I don't know what to do.
Plus, he doesn't breed confidence as the guy that the everything will be okay guy.
Right.
He's not breeding a lot of confidence in that this week.
Well, they're gonna compete this week.
That doesn't breed confidence.
They're going
to
compete.
We're looking to compete in our
one
next
second
game.
The sky's falling, the next second we're going to compete.
It's like we're a 1AA team playing against
the big boys.
We're
hoping we can make it to the stadium
to
on Sunday.
Listen, you're not going to turn what
provided
we saw
there's no traffic on, Route 1.
Monday night around in 1 week. It's going to take a little bit.
If you're a good football team, you certainly can turn it around
in
1 week. No. Yes, you can. And they've done it before.
They've got some issues. Things have added up over 4 weeks.
So you don't think it's a one-week thing. You think they're a questionable football team right now.
I think they have a lot of work to do, and it's not going to all be repaired in 1 week.
I agree with that. I think
that he's not eliciting confidence from the
But that's why it's different
okay
than the past. Yeah. Past bad games,
people
you immediately came out and fixed
okay.
it. Because you could. Because it was a bad game.
Right.
This might be a bad team. There's
I
a
don't
difference.
Know about you guys, but I could always rely on Fred to – you know, smack me into reality. When
he
I
hasn't
think
raped and pillaged in years. He hasn't, you know, just hand us the trophy. None of that.
Fred, what happens if the Bengals come out and take a leak down their leg Sunday night and the Patriots win like 20-17 and it's because the Bengals turn the ball over four times?
Well, that to me, that's the formula for winning.
I know.
It's the Bengals
I don't get into high, I don't
I'm
get
just
into
saying, what if the Patriots win but they play crappy?
Yeah, you're saying how's the attitude going to change
yeah,
about
Yeah, what if
fans
they win but
everything?
They play terrible?
We just don't have any conclusions to make.
A win is a win, that's what they'll say.
No.
Well, a win is a win. If they beat,
well,
if they
beat
Cincinnati,
if beat the
they
Bengals.
Don't need to apologize.
But that doesn't mean you've fixed your problem.
But listen,
but they need
they
to win the game Sunday.
The
it
way they
played
Monday night, if Cincinnati turned it over three, four times, they'd still lose the way they played.
Although a little disconcerting if you're a Bengals fan, that having a bye week and having like 20
Nobody
guys
practicing?
On the injury report. Yeah, a lot of them did not
First
practice.
First thing I thought of, you had a whole week off. Why is nobody practicing?
I was surprised about Perfect. Because I thought that all the stories that I had read that he was going to be back. That's a big part of their defense.
Well, Lewis pretty much said that he was going to be – like we had for Bob Sosi's show yesterday, we played a bunch of cuts from Marvin Lewis saying that he expected him to play on Sunday. And then he had Dan Hoard, the voice of the Bengals, on, and he was stunned that he didn't practice.
Oh, so maybe it was just a planned – you know, giving him a little bit extra time.
Because we asked.
They know he's going to play.
Because they asked him about a couple guys that were injured, and he was like, as of noontime, I would have said 100% they're a shoe in to play, and now since they didn't practice, we're all wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah, well.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
It's going to be just like 2013.
Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, I was just wondering, what would you guys think if, let's say, the coach of the Jaguars got rid of their second best defensive tackle, their best offensive lineman, the fourth best linebacker, buried their second or third best safety down the roster, buried one of their best offensive linemen like Josh Klein down the roster, and used the Hall of Fame cornerback in deep zone coverage?
I'd say he should be fired.
Yeah, same here.
I had a feeling that's where you were going with that. I don't know. Sometimes I can't read the sarcasm meter, but I had a feeling where you were going.
That was good, Josh.
I don't agree with all of those different things, but some of them I do. I would agree with the Revis point. I would agree with the offensive lineman point. I would not agree with the Josh Klein point. I would not agree with, what? I think he was talking about Daron Harmon.
Yeah, is he the best safety?
Second best safety. You know, I don't have any idea what Daron Harmon is. None.
Nor do they.
But some of those things I think are, listen, somebody made the point immediately after the Mankins trade that if the Oakland Raiders had made that trade, they'd be laughed out of the league again for making one of their silly trades.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily a second guess. People said that at the time. And the Revis thing, we did. We butchered Greg Schiano last year for using Revis exactly the way the Patriots have used him so far. Very little man coverage, a lot of zones. What are you doing?
Right.
So does that deserve to be questioned? You know, we talk about Brady. For the first time, it's been about Brady, and Brady's asked if he can play. You know, Alan Siegel, Andy, said, you? No, you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when can you ever remember anybody legitimately questioning the coaching decisions, not like fourth and two? I'm talking, how can you utilize this personnel, or how can you go with that
defense?
Why
are they getting it? If it's
when
true,
was the last time anybody questioned Belichick's coaching's game plan?
Why are they getting it so wrong, seemingly, this year? Why are they getting it so – What is different this year? Is it just they've lost the handle of the team?
Dante's gone.
Well, that would explain something, but, you know.
You said it yesterday.
The whole coaching staff?
Yeah, like. Why,
Dante's
you know,
the glue that held it all together.
As you said yesterday, not only was the offensive line coach, but he was a senior member of the coaching staff, the assistant head coach. Maybe there is a value in that in all these personnel meetings.
We really don't know what his duties were aside from coaching the offensive line.
I don't think there were that many personnel.
I don't know.
I'm actually going to back off my own.
You know, I don't know if you know, giving them the title.
Well, he did have the title assistant head coach.
Giving him that
title. No, I know.
He had that for a long time.
That means when Bill's dad dies, you take over for a week.
But it might mean more than that.
Or it could be a salary thing where they justify giving him more money by giving him that title, you know, I don't know.
I think it's the exact opposite. We can't give you money, but we'll give you a title.
No, I don't know. I don't know. But wasn't before this? Wasn't there a time where he, you know, kind of was thinking of leaving, and then they talked him into staying?
Yeah, but he's been the assistant head coach a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Long.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Well, maybe the entirety of the career.
I think as soon as Bill came,
yeah, I'm pretty
they
sure
gave him that title, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know.
They didn't add that when he was, you know, he wanted to leave 2 years ago.
So I don't know what that title meant, you know, but there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, because we're talking about using Chandler Jones in the wrong place, playing Darrell Revis in the wrong place, the overall scheme of the defense being wrong, the offense.
Because the margin for error is smaller.
Why
Brady has told us for 2 years now the margin for error is smaller. So that's true of coaching decisions, too. If you're good, you can still F up decisions, but they're covered up because Brady puts 35 on the board, Gronk scores 2 touchdowns, and you win.
So you're saying that they were always making these types of mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes.
I know.
Brady has missed passes for a decade.
I think they're
Belichick
being magnified
has,
now because
right.
the talent level isn't as high as
yes.
it once was.
Yes,
now,
So there's an explanation that the talent
winning cures
level
all.
Is magnifying
right.
every little mistake that they make.
Well, and losing is magnifying every mistake.
And to continue on with the coaches, maybe the coaches overestimated what they had. We all did.
Yep.
Right? So far, based on what you've seen, would you say that you overestimated the talent level of this team? Because I did.
Well, part of that, too, is I was going into the season thinking, with the moves they made, they were going to be playing a 4-3 defense, and they were going to be letting Darrell Revis play like Darrell Revis of old. Neither of those things has happened.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
They're not playing a 4-3, and they're getting pushed around because right. their personnel is ill-suited for what they're lining up in, and they're not letting Revis be Revis.
And I can't.
I agree with the Revis
because
part. I don't think there'd be any difference if you changed the.
If you had Tommy Kelly, Vince Wilfork,
well, that's different. They didn't.
And two defensive ends, Ninkovich and
but they
and
didn't
Jones.
Go into the season with Tommy Kelly. So
no, but going into the summer, I was thinking, I'm excited about this defense because I was thinking it was the same defense as last year.
That's a definitely
with some healthier guys and Revis.
That's definitely a fair point.
But the thing is, if the thought was in training camp that this is who we are going to be, you know, like Eric said, 4-3, Kelly and Wilfork in the middle, and they let Kelly go just because of, you know, this little squabble, and that required them to change their whole defense? Well, that's just ridiculous.
It is.
All the more reason not to let Kelly go.
Well, they were doing 3-4 when Kelly was here.
Before Kelly left.
I know they
clearly
were.
But that's part of why Kelly didn't want to be here.
No, I don't think so. I think that was purely money and the way he felt he was being treated.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The way he was being treated, I think he might have been like, what are we playing a 3-4
No, I think he would have been fine playing 3-4 end.
If he played every down.
Or a lot,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, enough.
Yeah.
I think it was purely money and treatment, his desire.
Fibbing, being straight
up.
But,
I mean, Eric does make a good point. I mean, I don't think that it's not just talent. I think they've also not used the talent they have as well as they could. Again, it's hard to say things like that when you're just a schmo guy
right.
on the radio and you're talking about arguably the greatest coach of all time.
I mean, are we that clueless that, you know, we think that Chandler Jones isn't suited for, you know, a 3-4 end, but they do? I mean, are we just that out of
no.
What are we not seeing?
Well, what we don't know is what's the alternative, and would it be any better?
Yeah, I
That's
guess.
What we don't know.
Right.
Like, everybody just says, well, he can't play. And believe me, I've led the charge. I was obnoxious about it the other night. They kept running at him every play, and me and Andy kept looking at each
yeah.
other. Every single play, they're running right at Chandler Jones.
And he's getting swallowed up.
If you put somebody else there and he doesn't do any better, I don't know. I mean, is Dominique Easley any more suited to play 3-4 end?
No, but my point is, why are they playing?
I don't know.
They don't have to be in a 3-4.
They
no,
can be in
no,
a 4-3.
I understand that. But
like they have in the past 2 years.
Paul's saying that they might think that the 4-3 would be even worse.
Okay. But they might be wrong.
I think they are
because we've seen it
the past 2 years, and he had 11.5 sacks last year.
It was pretty bad last year.
I know,
stopping the run.
Yeah, but they also were without Vince and Tommy Kelly. Now you bring those guys back, you leave things the way they are, you add Revis. Now suddenly I think you've got something. You've got a stout interior. You've got two edge guys who can rush the passer. You've got a trio of linebackers with add Jamie Collins as a full-time guy. You add Revis to the secondary.
Another guy that I think they may have overrated. Jamie Collins is getting killed.
Yeah. I mean,
but also, he's being misused.
Yeah, he's playing inside linebacker. He's supposed to be on the outside.
I don't put as much into that. I mean, the players are not playing well. And I agree with Eric that I would be using the lineup that Eric just said is the one I would be going with. But I'm not just willing to say if they went with that, it'd be 100% better. I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know how good Jamie Collins is. And Andy made a cottage industry out of telling us that he had two fewer tackles in 11 out of the 13 games that he played last year. Those are the right numbers?
No, you don't add the 13. Just 11 games with two or fewer
11
tackles.
11 games with two or fewer tackles. So he did. He said it 4,000 times. And he's
suddenly
right.
Stating facts as a cottage industry.
Well, you know, but you know what makes it a better fact? When he opens the next season and has been invisible.
But that's not his fault.
Exactly. If you thought more of a guy than he actually is, it's not his fault for that. The fact that you thought he could do something.
But to me, the bottom line is.
And that was when he was playing 4-3, outside linebacker.
You
he
could
was
argue
not active.
That
he was not involved.
Three of the most potentially talented players on the Patriots defense are being misused. Revis,
that's
Collins,
why I agree
Jones.
With Eric's larger point.
Right?
I would be going with the lineup
that's
that
what
Eric just
people
said.
People are saying, yeah. And now
I agree with it, by the way. I think Revis should be manning up, and I think you should be playing 4-3 with Jones at end, and I think you should be playing 4-3 with outside linebacker Jamie Collins.
But
I agree.
We must be missing something, though.
No. Why?
Everyone says that.
Why do they have to be right?
I know, but everyone agrees with Andy except for the coaching staff.
Can you save that soundbite? That's a good one.
But why do they have to be right?
It's also
you keep
incorrect.
Saying we must be missing something.
Well, in our evaluation.
Sometimes we can be right, you know.
I know, but.
But yeah. What?
And it just seems so obvious that we have to be missing something.
Ego.
You know? What do they care?
Well, I don't know. Freddie, I got
to. Just felt like something Borges would say.
I got a call.
Arrogance. I don't think you're
going to be the smartest guy in the room.
There was
I don't
a,
think you're wrong.
There's a Denver radio station that because we play them every year, it seems like, I get calls from them to go on. And they called me the other day, and they were trying to make the similar point that when Shanahan was there, and he won his couple of Super Bowls, everything was great. You know, he has the winning formula. Then it started to get where people were saying, what in the world is Shanahan doing? And he was being stubborn and sticking to his plan and his personnel and his things. And that eventually forced them to run him out of town because he wasn't being.
Didn't adapt.
Yeah, right. He didn't adapt. And they were wondering if there's a lot of that going on here.
Yeah.
And I think I thought it was a fair comparison.
And to something that you talked about yesterday, Fred, when you look at all these different things that they're doing and on defense specifically, 4-3, 3-4, whatever it is, they don't seem like they attack like the defenses that you enjoy watching do. I don't think there are a lot of good defenses in football. But some of the ones that are good seem to really go hell-bent for leather after the football, like Seattle. And we don't really play like that, no matter what – you know, no matter what the scheme is, we don't seem to attack the football like that.
Do you think there's any chance that if when Dennard gets healthy and Brown is on the field, they might change a little bit to more attacking up front?
It's possible.
Because they have a little bit more quality.
Well, they might change, maybe. Period, because what they're doing isn't working. That might be a change, but I don't look at this as a result of the secondary because they've never done that.
Well, we all thought, though, that, now that they have, more trust in that secondary, maybe they'll take more chances up front because guys can cover a little bit longer.
I remember arguing with you about that.
I know. But doesn't that make sense to do that?
I don't know. I don't know if the secondary is any better is
no,
my
but
point. I have to see it first.
I know. But if you were the coach and you believe it is better and they can't hold up longer,
but
wouldn't you want to –
but this is a coach who's
– get at the quarterback because we've already established in this league, it's a passing league. All the quarterbacks can throw the ball. You got to get at the quarterback.
Okay, so what does Bill continue to show us is his core philosophy? Keep it in front.
Right.
Play it safe.
And we thought maybe they might change
this
year.
Okay, well, again, I don't know how you can think it's going to change before it changes when a guy has had so much success doing it the way he's done it.
Well, he hasn't, though, in the last few years with the defense.
This is like a whole role reversal.
No. They've won.
Who am I talking to?
They've covered it up, but we've all agreed that the third
but
down particularly.
But his point is if I can just eliminate those big plays that kill you. Now, he hasn't always been able to do it. They've given up more big plays the last 3 years than anybody. Right?
Right. So something wasn't working.
But they've been able to win doing it his way.
But he's not stupid. They haven't won because they get off the field on third down.
I understand that.
But Fred, that's been a problem since the beginning. Remember my number?
I know.
9 of 14 years, I believe it was, under Belichick, they were like 24th or worse in third down defense.
And they're winning Super Bowls.
Because they don't get at the quarterback, or they haven't been able to get at the
Fred,
quarterback.
But, Fred, you're missing the point. Even when they were good, they were bad on third down a lot.
In the 03, 04?
Yes.
Yeah, I can
get you
the numbers. Don't you remember they were the bend-don't-break defense?
Now, one of those I think 04 might have been one of the outliers, but Andy's larger point is accurate. They've never really been good statistically in a lot of these categories, but they've been able to keep points.
That's
now.
Where bend but don't break comes
way,
from.
That's the way he likes to
give
play
up
defense.
Bending, third
I'll
down,
get
third
you.
Down.
And by the way, it's still kind of worked even this year. They've been pretty good in the red zone this year. Now the other night was a complete collapse in all
gave up
in all phases.
Still the number one pass defense.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, they still have great numbers. But you know what? The thing that's really striking to me, how bad they are offensively.
It really fails when you start to go that low.
Yeah, I know.
Number one pass defense.
Right. Right. Just gave up 41 points the other day.
Offensively, how many times do we sit there and we look at the red zone numbers and we say, yeah, they're struggling in the red zone. They're only like 50 or 60% touchdown percentage in the red zone. But look at how many times they get there. Well, now they're struggling in the red zone and they're not getting there. Do you know they've allowed more red zone trips than they've gotten red zone trips?
I'm not surprised.
That never happens to the Patriots. They're always like
stinks.
They always like double up. I mean, it's usually twice as many trips to the red zone as they allow. And right now, through four games, they've allowed more trips to the red zone than they've made to the red zone.
Their offense isn't good to start games. Their offense isn't good to finish games. Their offense isn't good to start halves.
Another part on coaching. Oh. How
He's
many?
Getting all excited over there. He's pointing.
No, it's the first
another,
time.
Another thing.
It's the first time I can
that
really
you've been able to rip Belichick with this much passion.
It's the first time I can ever remember that specific game plan type coaching moves. I'm not talking about going forward on fourth down. You know, decisions that anybody might be able to have an argument on either way. But I'm talking about dressing five running backs and three wide receivers in an NFL game. You know, stuff like that. You had the numbers yesterday. Is it three and out on all
three
four,
out, all
opening,
four opening drives of games?
And in the opening drive of the second half, they have yet to score.
Correct.
Right? I don't know if they're all three and outs, but
I don't know if they're all.
They have yet to score.
I know to start
opening
games,
drive
it's been
the,
three and outs.
The second half too.
And they've had at least three times where they've deferred and had the ball first in the second half, right?
I don't know the number on that, but I'm
coming
just saying
out of the locker room.
They get the ball to start the second half, and they're doing exactly what they did in the first half. Nothing.
Right.
Like, well, nothing is changing.
That's what I get done. Your offense isn't good right now.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter whether you start the half, end the half, middle of the half. Your offense isn't very good. That's the problem.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the phones. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Finally, I get through you. I've been on the phone for the last 48 hours.
Jeez.
A lot of people want to rip the team right now.
Well, you know what? I think it's easy to kick someone when the team is down, and I don't think we should do this. And the negativity in this town sucks. And I think we should. You know what's going on with
and all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
What did you say?
Thank you very much. What's going on with you have a bunch of piranhas in the media room that attack Brady like if he was on his last leg and are trying. This is ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, the guy needs an offensive line, right? Don't you think he needs to be protected to a certain extent?
Paul,
sing it, Andy.
I think he needs protection. I think the line's been bad. I think the receivers are bad. I think he's not been very good. It's all part of it.
It's all part of it. And I'm not saying that he's blameless, but ultimately, when you have an aging asset like Brady, you protect him.
Definitely, the media are feeling their oats. They feel, you know.
One of the rare times when you say that, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I absolutely
But we
feel
predicted
like,
this a decade ago.
I feel
We've
like
always
they,
talked about if you're not nice to people and give. You don't
when was
earn
Brady
any
not
favor.
A, when was Brady not?
No, but this is a general
a
thing.
I think those were legitimate questions. Brady wasn't getting attacked, in a smarmy kind of way yesterday. He was answering questions about the play of his offense, and he's the leader of the offense.
Plus, Giardi's a little different because
he loves
Jimmy Garoppolo, so he's trying to get him.
A personal agenda. And
exactly.
Next time he comes to the Patriots practice field, A, we should give him a nice Ralph Lauren blanket so he's comfortable. B, he needs to have new sandals. And B, we'll give him a new pair of sunglasses and maybe like two people with a palm so he can get some fresh air.
Right.
But it's easy to kick someone when they are down. And what I expect people to do is to say, how can we fix this? And maybe what's going on is that Bill needs help. And he needs help in his coaching staff because ultimately – he maybe needs new blood. He needs new support, and maybe the coaching staff has issues. Coaching. Plus, they've made bad decisions in talent. So, we are in a situation now. Is it unprecedented? Do you think that it can be fixed? Or maybe Bill is not afraid to blow the team up. Maybe it's not going to happen now, but maybe it will happen next year. And maybe he's lost his quarterback.
Yeah, but Art, most of those things you just said, they're all Bill's responsibility.
Yeah.
Bill needs help in coaching. Yeah. Bill needs help in personnel.
We can't do it.
Bill makes that decision.
I understand. And I don't think that he's going to be shy about making changes if he thinks that those things have to be done so the team can be a little bit more successful.
But well, it depends on if he thinks
well, as
the same
you know,
way
Olivier,
you think.
Part of getting help is admitting you need help.
Right.
You know,
agreed.
So he
right.
has to first admit that.
Right. Does he think he has a problem? Right.
I'm not sure he thinks
that. He's not going to tell this to the piranhas in the media,
no.
But, you know, he's going to, maybe that's what's happening right now, you know?
Could be.
And I'm sure, you know, he would not have been, he's not a person that is unsuccessful, and he would not have been successful as he is if we'd have never agreed to change or realize where he failed to change things. I think we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But you know what? This season, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. It's going to be ups and down, and we have to recalibrate our expectations.
Yep. All right. Well said, Olivier. Let's go to John in North Carolina. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, John.
Yeah, I don't understand the stuff with Brady. I really don't. He did not throw an interception to the second half of the fourth game of the year. Right? And before that, it was, oh, he doesn't throw to this guy. He doesn't throw to lousy, no-good Tim Wright, who couldn't play on the other team in the NFL. He doesn't throw to Amendola, who was brought in here on a big mistake. But now, when he throws to him, now they say, oh, my God, he threw an interception. He threw an, it seems like the media, like, pushed him into this. Oh, you got to throw to these other guys. They made it a big point. There's
John, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, but
I want to ask just a real simple question. Do you really think that people are criticizing Brady's play because he threw two interceptions in the second half of a 40-point game? Or do you think they're talking about the other 3.5 games where the offense didn't generate any points? Because that's
well,
all.
I mean,
I don't care about interceptions. I never have cared about interceptions.
I also see that there's no open receivers.
Really?
That's not true. That's inaccurate.
Really? Why don't you go back and watch James Devlin the other night and
completely
see how many times
inaccurate.
He was open.
Watch the Kansas City game. There's
I did.
No open receivers.
Okay.
I watch every
well,
game.
I saw him throw to a
double-covered
Robert Gronkowski when nobody was on the other side of the field with James Devlin.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
that's just one example.
Edelman,
he has not played well.
Threat. Why are they sending Edelman 40 yards downfield?
Well, that was a bad that.
Well,
that
he's also bad. The only downfield threat they have.
But hey, John,
even close.
I'd love to be with you, but there was another play against Kansas City where Gronk was wide open and he chose to go to Edelman downfield when he could have had an easy first down.
And I'm not suggesting the other stuff is not accurate.
But,
what John is saying, he doesn't have a lot of weapons. He doesn't have a lot of choices.
And John,
but you can't just say that it's about interceptions.
No,
one of the picks was totally meaningless.
And John, I'm
and
not.
One was to Edelman.
I'm not.
One of them was to Edelman, and
right.
both of them were.
So
totally
he wasn't
meaningless.
Forcing it to show the media. I'll throw to other
right.
people.
And
Edelman.
I'm not discounting that all the things you laid out aren't what's affecting Brady.
The offensive line remains the number one issue with the
right.
offense.
Absolutely.
No question. Yeah. Even the biggest Brady detractor would have to admit that playing behind that line is not a recipe for success.
Right.
What quarterback would take his would trade his team? I mean, like, you know, take the top ten teams or take some good teams. What quarterback says, I'll take the Patriots receivers and I'll take their offensive line and I'll swap you out?
Probably none of them.
Exactly.
Right. Well, yeah. We're not discounting that, but you can't also say that, you know, Brady has played like Brady.
He's played terribly.
Something's good.
He had the same core last year. He played much better.
The interception Mankins. He threw intended for Edelman or LaFell in that area, he had no pressure. He had all day to throw.
And it's not just interceptions. How about the missed touchdown to Amendola? That should have been a touchdown.
Right.
Could have had an easy touchdown to Gronk back in the end zone.
Yeah.
Or just the Gronk backside, you know, little waggle to miss him wide open. These things, you know, my whole butterfly effect theory, things churn together and they can snowball for the good as well as they snowball for the bad.
And that's what happens when you're under constant pressure and then all of a sudden you miss an opportunity when you're not under pressure.
Right.
Well, then the next time you have an opportunity maybe to make a play, then you did get pressure and that prevented that. It's like Andy said, it's a snowball effect when you end up getting all these different things going wrong and he's clearly feeling it. He's dropping back. He's not expecting to have any time. You can see it.
Right.
He looks like a guy who's waiting for the rush to come because most plays, the other night, I think they threw the ball 33 times the other night combined, yeah. Garoppolo and Brady. They got sacked 3 times. And we're talking about how much better the line was that game.
If you're thinking about pressure, there's pressure, whether it's there or not, you know?
I mean, he did have time, like Eric said, on the Edelman one when it looked like he was expecting a double move, and Edelman broke it off. He had time on that play. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to just cherry pick a time where he had time and say, well, he should have made a better play on that.
And it's also not just run-of-the-mill pressures. It's pressures that are causing turnovers, forced fumbles, and it's pressures where he's getting absolutely laid out.
Can you imagine?
I mean, that's not the same
back
as just a guy at your ankles. Oh, he was under pressure.
Right.
He's getting a rib driven through his spine on one play. Then the ball's getting knocked out of his hand on the next. These are, you know, impact pressures.
Sam's in Houston. Hey, Sam.
Sam Houston.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up?
Yeah, it is definitely the offensive line. I would say Nate Solder and the right tackle. I've looked at it. I'm like, man, those guys and how they actually do the kick step out, they're misjudging that. We got receivers that sometimes don't break away from the actual defense. And then we got Brady missing people on plays where they're clearly open. All of that is a recipe for failure. And then we got an offensive coordinator that won't commit to the run, but we're going to have Steven Ridley and a couple other running backs active.
That's and all the bad. So what's the solution?
I honestly believe, and I know you guys said something about not one. What is the left tackle name that kind of bullied the guy down there in Miami? I forget his name.
Richie Incognito. He's a guard.
Not a tackle.
Yeah. He's not the answer. No. We don't need that problem here.
Listen, he
He's not that good.
You don't think he's that good?
He gets better every day he misses.
You know who he is? You know who he is? He's the Brandon Lloyd of the offensive line. He's a guy who's been...
He's not as good as Brandon Lloyd at guard, I'll tell you that.
No, but my point is he's a guy who's been overrated throughout his career, which is why he's bounced around to 15 NFL
or
teams.
Or Danny Amendola. I hate to say it.
No, but Amendola's only played for two teams.
I know, but before Amendola was here, everybody wanted Danny Amendola.
I think Incognito was a guy that was specifically targeted as a guy to go after when the Patriots played against him. I think he's a bad guard.
Yes.
Forget about a bad guy.
Oh, he could
he's
be
a
drawn,
bad guard.
He could be drawn, you know, a false start.
Yeah, he's not that
I'm
good.
Talking about we're going to take advantage of his inability to block.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Not his head.
He wasn't that good a player. Thanks, Sam. Ben Volen, I guess, was on a CBS show on the bench. You ever hear of this show? I don't know. It must be something.
Yeah, that's – isn't that – that's the guy.
Well, you know –
Scott Farrell?
Isn't he on the bench?
I don't know.
And I've heard Volen on there before.
That sounds like you.
But you know strippers likes to – you know strippers likes to tattle on people.
Yes. Like he did with Giardi on Twitter trying to get us in fight.
Patriots writer Ben Volen told on the bench in CBS, we didn't expect Brady's decline to start so precipitously. So Ben Volen has declared it the decline.
Wasn't he just writing last week that everything was okay?
Yes. And he also evidently declared that the decline has just started. We didn't expect it to start so precipitously.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
You weren't watching the last 5 years, like Eric.
let's go to Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Better than the team.
Is Eric there or not, Noel?
Eric's here.
Eric's
Have
here.
You been listening?
Hey, yeah, I listened to you. I'm in Denver talking to
They're going
to
fight.
I listened to you talk to Bill Allen, Big Allen D-Back the other night. That was fun.
D-Bag is the other guy?
No, D-Mac. D-Mac.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I talk to them every year, at least a couple times a year, because they have an obsession with this team in particular, in part because of McDaniels and the Brady Manning thing, and we play them all the time. So we have a little teasing rapport that we've developed over the years.
D-Mac has a tattoo of the Red Sox on his arm. So
does he really?
Yeah, really, and I go to the Blake Street Tavern, and I know a gal there that works with those guys, so she's a Patriot fan, they're not.
Well, I'm going to have to bring up the Red Sox thing to him next time, because...
Yeah, his dad lives back there, so...
Oh, okay, good to know.
He's originally from there, but anyway, hey, just to make a long story short, guys, I really love what you're talking about. I think I look at Brady, and, you know, John Wooden said something once, you know, when you're weakened physically or mentally... you don't have the strength or vitality to make sound decisions. And I think there's something wrong with Tom Brady. I don't know if it's personal. I don't know if it's physical. I'd like to get your take on how you feel about that. The other thing is we know the offensive line has got to step it up. But the other side, when you talked earlier today about the leaders, I think we do miss the guys like the Brewskis and the Vrabels and the McGinnis, who were there to just straighten things out and be Brady's, I mean, be Bill's sounding board. So I don't know if we have that, and I'd like to have your take on those
All right. We talked about that at the top of the show.
And
those guys,
not only were they leaders, they were actually pretty talented players.
They were timely playmakers.
Yeah. And that's what's been lacking, too.
We really are going down the road of Rick Pitino, though, because the second part of that quote, all the negativity in this town sucks, was Larry Bird's not walking through that door.
Right.
Robert Parrish is
not walking through that door.
Exactly. I just thought of that. If they do, they're old and they work for TV stations.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know,
Parcells. And now they talk, so they can't go back into the locker room.
And now Brewski says it doesn't look good for this team.
Parcells called them, you know, his circle of the wagon guys. You know, those are my circle of wagon.
But Belichick has them. Whether they can do the job is another question.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that he would consider Gerard Mayo, Devin McCourty, Tom Brady, circle the wagon guys.
Yep.
Now, whether they can properly circle the wagon and do the job, I don't know. But I think Belichick believes he has those guys.
Bobby's in Houston. Hey, Bobby.
How you doing?
What's up?
I have a couple of things to say. Number one, last year nobody expected Julian Edelman to do what he did last year.
Correct.
So you can understand why the double covers, why everybody is on him this year. Okay, when you name your top two receivers, Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, who is the third best wide receiver on the team? Who is the other player on the opposite of the field that holds distraction where you can find other players to be open?
Yeah. Does not exist.
Yeah, we don't know.
Where is Austin Collie?
Sitting
at home.
He's
at home. Okay, there's other receivers that was doing free agents, and we went out and got a player like Brandon LaFell who hasn't proved nothing to me since he was in college. Like, I do not understand, like, the free agent picks that we picked. We helped our defense, which we won, 12 games last year with a whole bunch of injuries to our secondary, to our defensive players, to our offense players. We won enough games to be number two in the AFC. We have added more players, but we haven't added players to the position that we needed players on, offensive, wide receivers, skilled players. We haven't added that. If y'all played Madden before, you know, you ever played the franchise mode where you do your fantasy draft, you pick all the players and all this. Okay, if you have five good wide receivers on your team and you throw the ball to one person all day, every game, well, fourth game of the season, your players' morale have went down because they're not getting the ball.
This is Madden we're talking about here? You know they're not real people, right?
But it's the same way real football.
Okay. Sure.
If you're giving the ball to a certain person and you build this up and you talk about him all the time, well, you're not going to play 100%.
Bobby, I don't know if it's Andy or Paul or one of you guys said it yesterday. Yeah, how do you think Kenbrell Tompkins or Aaron Dobson feel when constantly it's always them, it's their fault? Yeah, they need to do better, but you know, it's being drummed in their head that they stink
every time the ball hits the ground.
And
it's
their quarterback
fault.
Really isn't doing anything to refute that.
But to me, it's even worse because what he just said, you did really nothing. You signed Brandon LaFell. Nobody really liked Brandon LaFell when he signed.
Exactly.
Nobody thought that was a big move.
I did.
You put all of course you did. You
so
put all your stock.
Why don't you fall down by 41?
You put all your stock in Tompkins,
yeah,
Dobson, and the young receivers. You put all your stock in it. All we heard was Bill last February. I'm talking. All we heard was Bill last February say, you know, they're going to be better. We have a lot of faith. This summer, we're excited to see where they go.
Right.
And then you're not giving them a chance to take you where they go.
Josh Boyce is on the practice.
You put all your stock in them and then suddenly took all the stock out of them before the season started.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
So was that just complete misses?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me give you all a prime example.
Not very, very good drafting.
Dallas Cowboys, before Dez Bryant got there, who was their bread and butter?
Right.
Miles Austin.
Right.
When Dez Bryant got there, where has Miles Austin been? You didn't hear about him. You heard about Jason Witten and Dez Bryant.
Right.
It's the same way. Julian Edelman stepped up. We lost Danny Woodhead. Everybody say Danny Woodhead was nothing but see what he did at San Diego. You know what I'm saying? As a running back. We lost a lot of key players. There's really no excuse because we did pretty good last year with a whole bunch of injuries and lost a lot of players.
Yeah, but Shane Vereen is supposed to be better than Danny Woodhead.
No, but I liked his first point.
At the same time, the Patriots is the most hated team. You wouldn't believe.
We know that.
You go anywhere. Okay, well,
I agree with that.
What happened Sunday, Kansas City was a team that do not like the Patriots who came to play. Yep. Everybody's tired of hearing.
Oh, let's
about
not have
Rangers.
This result to
Tom
be anything
Brady
with the other teams. I agree with the most hated team, but
yeah. So people are going to practice. They're going to play up to like it's a Super Bowl when you play the.
It
Patriots.
Was a Super Bowl for them. They were 1-2. They needed to win the game.
And now exactly. We got a Super Bowl this week, according to Fred, against right. The Bengals.
We hate the Bengals.
Course.
Yeah.
We do things. It's called karma. Okay, what we did to Brandon Spikes, put him on the injury reserve when he wasn't even hurt, and then traded him.
Yeah, but I don't know, Bobby.
Let him go.
Bobby, I'm with you for most of the part.
Something like that come back. He missed a meeting. Okay, you cut him. You trade him.
We'll see when we play Buffalo.
Come back to bite you.
All right.
He was a free
agent. All right, Bobby. Thanks for the call.
Are we saying that's the worst thing the Patriots have ever done is let Brandon Spikes go?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That don't make no sense.
All right, one more call.
But I agree with Fred. I mean, just I disagreed completely with that last point, but I thought he made some other points.
No, his Austin point was perfect. Miles Austin was good until they got a good receiver.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman is good until you get a real receiver. If you brought in a real, true receiver, we'd be talking about that guy and Gronk.
Well, that's what Paul's been saying about Wes Welker for years.
Well, I was just going to say, but instead of focusing on my ridiculous exaggerations, okay, which is what you guys do, you focus on my hyperbole.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were exaggerating.
But that is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's great
that's
that you have this
said.
Little slot receiver as the as your number one guy. You're not a very dangerous offense if that's right. The case.
All right, one more call, then we'll take a break. Dwayne's in Boston. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
You know, I was really frustrated watching the game, looking at the offensive strategy. I just don't get it. I don't understand why you were coming to a game with only three wide receivers active, and then five running backs active, and then they barely used James White. They only put him on the field as
they
started throwing to him after the game was out of hand.
I hear you. You got a bad connection, Dwayne. No, we'll talk. I don't understand why Bobby calls from Houston and it's clear as a bell, and Dwayne calls from Boston. We can't hear him. What was it, you know,
cell phone?
Maybe been a cell phone issue.
Yeah. Anyway.
You could not call from a cell phone right outside that door.
No,
it could
not
be a bad cell.
I know what he's saying. You know why? It's really
the heat is really starting to pile on Josh.
It's incredible to me that they would basically put the game in jeopardy or put the offense in jeopardy for this one game because somebody mouthed off to the offensive coordinator.
Well, first of all, you're not putting the game in jeopardy. Aaron Dobson's done nothing.
No,
so it's not like you're taking out Adrian Peterson.
You're really hurting yourself.
No, and you
maybe.
Have to, but
maybe.
Wait a
we don't even know if
but
they think he's
say,
good.
You have to say this, and based on what we've heard and not anything that we know, you can't say that it put the game plan in jeopardy because they also had Tompkins inactive.
Right.
If they wanted to do anything with the game plan, they had another guy that could have done that.
Well, maybe when Dobson
this was about
off,
Dobson.
Tompkins went, yeah!
Oh, jeez.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
But you have a good lobster biscuit just...
Because it's a stew, a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
No soup for you. It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, we're back? Jeez, I'm still eating my pizza. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Why don't we get to some emails?
Yeah, picks, got to hurry.
No, well, not yet, but we do need to get to some emails. A lot of people writing in. I feel a burp coming on.
Oh, great.
Well, I mean,
yeah, based on the way we're
shoveling
picking.
Down a cheese pizza and Diet Pepsi.
You shouldn't shovel it down.
All
you
of a
should
sudden,
take your time.
How can I take my time when I don't have any?
You can make time.
If I'm you, I just take half the show off. And,
I was,
you
know, Eric will attest, I was trying to forewarn him.
What's that?
I was trying to forewarn him.
Short that pick segment, you know, based on the way that no one can seem to pick their nose.
Yeah. We had stink. A bad week.
We have a bad year.
I know I got one game wrong.
I didn't.
He giggled about it.
Eric got it right. That's like the only one you got right, though.
If you keep picking Boy. Against him, eventually you're going to be right.
It was a tough week.
Right.
It's a tough day.
Pick him to go to the Super Bowl
there
this
it is.
Year, okay?
You were my man wrong.
Nick from
That's
Illinois.
That's my problem, too. I went back and looked at picks. Mm. The team I was all in on this year was the
Not
Patriots.
The same team. Yeah.
I had them going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I had Brady winning MVP. I had all. Who knew that the team that was going to cost me was my own?
Nick says, hey, everyone's saying the problem is Brady. What happens if you put another quarterback in there? He runs for his life and has nobody to throw to. This offense has a serious lack of talent thanks to Bill.
Yeah, Garoppolo looks pretty good in the fourth quarter.
Since this was Monday night, I had the opportunity to watch the rest of the league, every single team had wide receivers that got more open on a regular basis than any of our wide receivers, and our offensive line is still horrid. I might just throw up it if they give Solder a massive contract extension. We said for years that we'll put up with Bill the GM so we can keep Bill the coach. Now I've changed my mind. I no longer think Bill the coach with his antiquated defensive system is worth putting up with Bill the GM.
I agree.
P.S. Good for Dobson mouthing off. Josh probably deserved it.
I just want to say about Nate Solder and even Vollmer, I don't think that they suddenly forgot how to play football or how to play their positions. You know, and I don't recall either of them being as bad as they've played this year in previous years.
Correct.
So I have to believe that there's some cause and effect between Dante not being here and the way they're playing now.
I agree. Paul thinks it's because Mankin's left.
I mean, that could be a part of it too.
Got three guys away made Vollmer worse.
But no, my
I knew that would draw him to put his sub down and talk.
No. Now they're being told to just let the guy go by him. Whereas Dante was telling me to make sure they blocked that guy.
Right. The funniest thing you ever said, or whichever one of you said it, is like, we didn't take notes when Dante was here. We didn't write anything down.
I think somebody else said it, though.
Whatever it was, that was very funny.
So, to finish my point, I was just saying to kill the two tackles for what they've been doing, I think needs to have a little more scrutiny behind it. It's not just the fact that they can't play.
It just seems like
we know they can play.
Yes.
We've seen them play.
And
we
play
don't know
well.
Some of the interior guys, whether it's Devy or Stork or Fleming, we don't know that they can and even. We don't know that they can play.
Well, hopefully that.
And now's not the time to experiment.
But
they,
you also
had all of August to do that.
You also can't give Nate Solder a $40 million contract right now.
Well, let me.
You just can't.
No, but.
Well, let me add a little something.
But if you do it like the Vikings and make it like Friday night at 12:59 p.m.
Dump,
or whatever.
Like they do in the White House.
Yeah. But let's also, you know, let's examine it a little bit closer, too.
And deeper dive?
You just completely dismiss the Mankins part of it.
I don't completely dismiss it. I just don't understand how. Nate Solder's whole career was totally beholden because he had Logan Mankins.
But I didn't
next
say
to him.
It was total, but maybe he made him look a little better than he was.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe this is a little closer to the player that he is. Maybe he made him look a little better. That's all. And I don't know. I don't know enough about mind play to know how much that relationship would matter.
Maybe it's
on the
because
other side,
Mankins
the last,
was so bad they targeted him to have 11
the last,
sacks.
The last
now they're
saw,
targeting Solder.
The last we saw Vollmer, he broke his leg. You know, maybe he's not quite as good a player as he was when we last saw him playing well. Maybe.
Yeah, but broken legs are usually you come back.
Usually?
Again, Andy knowing all about injuries.
But I'm just like, is it not possible?
Maybe you should know something about injuries.
Is it not possible
it's a big part of the sport
not physically
we cover.
as 100% as he was when we last saw him playing well?
Do I think it's the leg? No.
The
Do
back?
I think he could be hurt? Yes.
The back?
Yes.
The leg? Back of the leg.
I don't think it's the back of the leg or the leg. I think it could be the back. If you told me he had a back injury, I'd say, not surprised.
Because
we know he has a back history. He's not playing well. 2-2,
and now
make 5.
And now you're adding up years in injuries.
Right.
So that's
like I said,
I'm saying. Like,
I wouldn't be surprised if Vollmer had an injury.
I think the easy thing, and I'm not trying to be a big
Wrong
defender of the new coach. I have no idea if this guy has anything going on at all.
They hate their coach.
And they might. Maybe that's just maybe it's as simple as it's a mental thing. They love Dante so much, and they're all pouting. Maybe it's as simple as that.
That's embarrassing for professionals.
Certainly is.
Yep.
But I'm not trying to make excuses for Googe. I'm just saying I think it's very easy to sit there and say, this guy came out, this guy went in, the performance dropped, that's why. That's, I think, a little simplistic.
But isn't it also like easy to say, there was one guy who was there for 30 years, and knew everything and was seen as a legend everywhere he went, not just here, considered an offensive line legend. The other guy was doing talk radio last year, and we shouldn't expect some drop-off.
Don't you like how he picks and chooses the things he takes from Felger and makes them relevant?
Right.
When he doesn't believe anything that Felger says, he mocks and ridicules
them. See, I take facts and utilize them, not opinions.
There are other things that are facts that you just don't think are facts.
Right. I don't think it's a fact that Tom Brady told Dilfer and Young, I don't like the Patriot way, go talk about it on TV now. Or they built offices, now they won't spend any money. That's fact.
Right.
That's connecting dots that aren't connected.
That's true.
But to say Googe was doing radio last year is a fact.
I don't think he said that it was fact that now they're not spending money. I think he said it was a fact that they built the new offices.
Right, and he therefore connects it to that's why.
He connects it, but he doesn't say it's a fact.
No, but he connects it like it's a logical leap. It isn't.
That's
it's circumstantial evidence at best.
Much like
wouldn't get you a conviction in any court of law.
Much like the offensive line situation. Very circumstantial.
Wait, it's not a fact that you had one of the most respected coaches ever who'd been here forever and maintained a system forever, and you brought in a guy who was out of work last year and has not even one-tenth the resume of success.
That's a fact.
Okay.
But it's not a fact that that's what the reason why the offensive line's not playing as well.
No, but that's a fact, and therefore to
just like it's a fact that they spent a lot of money on new offices.
Right.
It's not a fact.
And that is in no way tied in.
That's affecting the budget. It's not a fact that it's affecting the budget.
Wait, you don't think
it's not necessarily
a lesser coach? A fact.
Exactly.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Wait, you don't think it's a further leap to assume that because they built offices, they don't have money to spend elsewhere than it is to say you brought in an offensive line coach with... Oh, my God. Yeah. He's a position coach. That's all he does. That's his job.
I also I know that building offices or Patriot Place that I've heard has nothing to do with the football budget. Nothing. Okay. Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
You know, I know that
I've heard
he
that
won't
too.
Believe you, Fred. He'll believe Felger.
I've heard that too. I've heard people. I've heard the Kraft say that. I have. I agree with Fred. I've heard them say that.
But you don't really buy it.
I'm not just willing to say that it's not possible, like you are. That's all.
Oh, I'm not willing to say it's not possible, but I'm not willing to spend 5 hours every day spewing that it's basically fact.
Well, see, Felger,
and I wouldn't either.
But Felger's very.
It also makes no sense in the year they signed Darrell Revis.
Right.
Like that's a little bit of a fly in your ointment.
Right. Tony writes in, so we learned yesterday that Dobson mouthed off to McDaniels and has maturity issues.
Reportedly.
One wonders whether these maturity issues have manifested themselves through less than diligent injury rehabbing, poor practice habits, not enough film work, etc. Mike Reese said he's heard it's more football-based, struggling to get open in practice. Given his behavior and, frankly, more importantly, his on-field inconsistency, if not downright disappearances for long stretches, is it reasonable to place Timms on the active roster and continue to deactivate Dobson?
For who?
What do you mean?
Who are you putting him on the active roster in place of?
I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, for Timms to be on the
active
roster.
Forget about that, but do you, on game day.
I don't.
Well, but for him to even
this
be active
be
on game
one
day.
Of those things,
so,
I'm not expecting anything from Brian Timms, okay?
Yeah.
So, no. I'd rather have Aaron Dobson play than
I'm not expecting
that's
it.
Your answer.
I think if they expected something, they would have put him on the field with Brady at some point, ever, to catch a pass.
I know he caught some passes in garbage time with Jimmy Garoppolo in preseason. That doesn't mean that I think he's going to go out there and make plays for an offense that is drowning.
This is a dead serious question. Did he ever catch a pass from Brady?
I
mean ever.
Yeah.
He did?
You're talking about Timms?
Yeah.
Yeah, during camp. He did. He took a lot of, actually, like first-team reps when he first got here, like in the first week or two. And with Brady,
I don't
there.
Recall it at all.
Oh yeah, he absolutely, and he talked about it after a couple of practices.
Because I remember,
I think there was a time like 3 weeks in where he said he couldn't believe it that he was in the huddle.
I asked the question.
Yeah,
I remember that specifically.
I remember that.
That was literally the third week of camp.
Yeah,
and it was one day with limited reps. Might have been a walkthrough, even an up-tempo walkthrough. I'm not sure he's ever caught a competitive pass from Tom Brady.
I mean, there are always guys that defy the odds, but this is a guy who's been on three teams now.
Four, I believe.
Four. Four teams,
Niners, Browns, Dolphins, Patriots.
Coming off a month of inactivity, I'm sorry if I'm just going to be a little bit less enthralled by him being the same.
We have the habit of always thinking the guy that isn't playing is, you know.
I mean, Brandon Browner is a guy who started a lot of games for Seattle, and I'm not expecting him to come in and make an immediate impact.
Right.
And Dobson, I'm not sure it's like the way he worded all that he's been – as bad as that guy makes
well,
it seem.
One thing,
he was
Paul,
hurt.
You should check
written,
your Twitter.
He hurt
box
his foot twice.
And see what Reese is reporting because he's
no. That's an old.
Oh, that's
I don't
an
know.
Old
unless
one?
He wrote something new, I don't know. But Mike wrote something about it's football related. He's not practicing well,
yeah.
And that's why when you asked the question to Andy and Eric and I about does it make you feel better or worse to find out you suspended, and me and Andy said kind of better,
right?
Because it's not football related.
He does
he
not
can,
suck.
He can play.
Well, a lot of times.
Because that's what I've been reading is that he's not practicing well, right. And he's not earning.
A lot of times when a beat writer
the job.
From you know one beat writer comes out with a story like that, the other beat writers
is quick to
come
try
out
to
with their
dispel it.
Yeah.
But Mike has written this in the past.
I'm asking.
I think he
if
wrote
he's
it.
Done
that,
anything since?
No, I don't know. But he wrote something.
No, I don't know.
That's
he,
why I said check
what
your
that
Twitter
guy,
box.
What that guy just wrote.
What is a Twitter box?
I already read that from Mike Reese last week. That's
inbox
what I'm saying.
For Twitter? Is that what he means? That,
I forget who it was. It was
what
one
timeline?
Of the, it was a coach. Some coach on some team said, you know, can you get me one of those Twitter boxes on my desk? He actually thought that
was
like Twitter was its own appliance. Yeah.
I hate these people. I don't understand. Like these people, like I think Nick Saban's another one who's never sent an email and never will. Why pride in ignoring the world and technology?
Yeah, like,
and,
it's
a badge of honor to be.
No,
an idiot.
It isn't. Right, exactly.
Right.
You know what?
You're a bleeping moron.
Right.
But that's, you know, I'm that guy. I have no knowledge of the computer.
But that's just laziness.
But I'm embarrassed by it. That embarrasses me that I don't know how to use the computer as well as my 9-year-old does.
Right.
Like, why you would, I agree with Andy. Why would you wear that as a badge of honor?
Right.
If I'm Bud Selig, I'm the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and I'm proud to say that I've never sent an email.
Right.
Yeah, he's another
one. How lucky you must be.
But
what
Nick Saban is a guy, for a guy who's only ever been very nice to me in the one time I ever spoke with him, I really despise him, Nick Saban. Like, every time I hear something from him, about him, you know, the whole player safety rule that they shouldn't allow hurry up, every time he's ever, I dislike his take. He comes off as a colossal psycho.
Pepper writes in, the Patriots have nothing at wide receiver except Edelman. Wright is a camp body, essentially. The Patriots did not address the tight end position.
That is another one that doesn't get enough criticism.
Which one?
The lack of tight end additions.
Right? Well, other than
right.
Yeah. Like, no, you did
nothing.
They
added an 80-catch tight end. What do you want me to tell you?
Even that, though, they added the – even if you think he's an 80-catch tight end, you added him on the eve of the season.
No,
not at the ideal time to implement him to the offense.
I am being my smart.
I know. You always are.
But
I know you don't mean to be
let's
smart.
But let's go back to the beginning of the season. And I'm not going to call all – because everybody universally, us included, all thought this team was very, very good.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But remember some of the people, what they were talking about.
Well, some of us had doubts. And I would say PFW.
But do you remember the
as a whole?
Do you remember
we did our entire week of the opening season talking about, do teams that are going to be in the AFC title game generally have as many unknown starters as this one?
That's true.
We didn't necessarily say they're not good, but we just posed the question of, it's a little weird to assume they're going to be great.
You did say that.
When the offensive line, the defensive line, there were just so many.
Safety, wide receiver.
And I was even giving them the benefit of the doubt at that time, that they knew the answer to the questions that I didn't know the answer to.
Right.
That they had five guys on the line, these are our five. They don't.
Right.
Week four, they still don't.
Because normally at the end of camp, those kind of questions get answered.
Right. And usually, I'll give, again, Bill has earned the benefit of the doubt that he had the answer, and the answer was the right one. That didn't happen. Safety hasn't happened.
Nope.
They're still rotating. But so we posed the possibility that we were overrating the idea of the 2014 pick.
And even if you said, you know what? We are so versatile. We have, you know, so many guys. Every game it's going to be different. Is that really good, though, to be so variant, if that was the plan?
That's the one I always fall back on. If you have Reggie White, you play him.
Right.
If you can, you know, the Giants. Really, we only called one thing. It was 50 cover two or whatever, you know. If you're that good, you just do it.
Right.
You don't let other things give you the chance to screw it up.
If you get the best cornerback in the league, you know,
you
man
him
the best receiver.
You know, and I've said it before.
Until you don't.
You know,
right.
Even in past seasons, sometimes I think they overthink things.
That's the history of, remember the whole, was that one of the books or whatever, where Parcells would have to reel Belichick in from overthinking things and, you know, being overly, over analyzing everything and just, you know, we're good. We have Lawrence Taylor. Use him.
Alex in Somerset, I don't think the loss of Welker has been emphasized enough. Tom Brady used to always have those third and three situations like he has so many times these past games, and Welker would make the first down the majority of the time. He has his favorite target. Amendola has nowhere near the skills of Welker. I don't think it isn't a coincidence that when Manning got Welker, he broke records. Welker moves the chains and is really a top 10 receiver for that. Hey, you can't argue with that. He broke.
Wait a minute. Manning didn't really get Welker.
What do you mean they didn't get Welker?
What year? How many years has Manning been there? Three?
Three. This is his third year.
Last year when he got
Welker,
he broke the record.
He broke all the records.
Yeah, but I think that's very.
He was in his second year with his team.
I'm not going to put Welker on a pedestal that
Julius Thomas.
Now that he's in Denver that I wasn't willing to put him on here.
Right.
And I think Edelman, although they didn't think it was going to be Edelman, they thought it was going to be Amendola. I mean, Edelman was a reasonable facsimile of Welker last year. I mean, I don't think he was as good as Welker was when he was with the Patriots.
So Welker's
but he was
quarters,
close, don't
and
you
Edelman's
think?
Like dimes and nickels?
I mean, am I wrong? Do you think Edelman was pretty close to Welker in his heyday last year? Close.
No.
I think Welker was better.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about production in terms of number of catches, number of yards. I think the
not
email
really.
Is right. Welker made more plays than Edelman did, but it was close. You don't think it was close?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Marginally close.
Okay. See, he thinks less Edelman than I do.
No, but I was expecting Edelman to take a jump this year that now I don't think is going
to
come.
But I wanted to get back to that.
I thought he was going to average. Last year it was like 10.
Well, yeah, but you thought there would be more support cast.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But he's the only guy. Absolutely. So
but I want to stick
stop
with,
Edelman
I wanna,
in the second half and the game's over.
I want to stick with the support cast.
Right? Isn't that what
happens? I love when the honest Fred just kind of pops out in little phrases.
Well, that's what happens.
You stop Edelman in the second half, game's over.
But when you're talking about all the different options they have throw to, right? But before the season started, there were people, you know, Edelman will catch another 100 balls. You know, Dobson will catch 60. Amendola will catch another 50. He caught 50-something last year on a terrible year, right?
54, 56.
You know, Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen stays healthy.
Breakout,
that's an 80-catch guy.
Right.
Like, we didn't seem like we had all of these questions as to where the receptions were going to come from when the season started. Now, a month into the season, now it's, you shut down Edelman in the second half and you lose.
That's because you told me it always works out for Brady in the offense.
My point being, it's not just because Edelman doesn't have any help. Like, why are they not getting the ball? Why is suddenly all these guys that were viable options last year,
and we thought
heading into this year, and now these guys aren't viable options?
Well, you know what it reminds
Brady
you?
Decline.
Remember the Seinfeld episode where he's on
hashtag
the subway?
Brady declines.
Where he's on the subway, and the guy sitting across from Jerry takes off his clothes.
No.
And he's naked, but he's a Mets fan. And so Jerry's like, you know what? Instead of running from this guy, I'm just going to talk to him. And they start talking about the Mets. And he's like, you know, it's the pitching. Forget about the pitching. It's the cleanup hitter. Forget about the cleanup hitter. It's the bullpen. And that's what I feel like with the Patriots. It's like, oh, forget about the receivers, the O-line. Or forget, you know, it's everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't back. Remember that episode?
By the way, speaking
no,
of Seinfeld
but not everything
episodes,
in life can be related to a Seinfeld
oh, yes,
episode.
It can.
Oh, yes, it can. Oh, I beg to differ.
Oh.
How come? How
between
come?
Seinfeld and Star Wars, they got it covered.
Yesterday we're in the press conference, in the media workroom, waiting for the press conference to start, and our buddy Dan Roach tries
Michelle
to make a makes a comparison to a Seinfeld episode, and he turns to Andy and says, "Hey, did you ever see that Seinfeld episode where?" And he starts talking, and Andy politely just goes, "Never said I hate Seinfeld. It's not funny. Never. I hate
Roach,
it."
He's a nice guy.
You're a fraud.
Yep, you're a fraud.
No, I'm being nice
well,
to
that's
him.
That's his whole nickname is from Seinfeld.
I thought
too.
The truth Michelle never hurts.
Rochelle.
But I don't need to beat him over the head with it.
That's
There's
what our
no
producer
truth.
Calls him during the
Rochelle,
games.
Rochelle.
Rochelle. Rochelle.
Like,
just read the comments.
Had it been Giardi or Curran or somebody else, I would have said that.
Oh, God. Callum writes in, "This is the perfect distressor for 3 days of exams. Wasn't able to listen to the first show, but I thought I'd share some of my thoughts today.
Thoughts?
I'm looking forward to seeing how Belichick uses Browner. My hopes are that they use him occasionally to go one-on-one with other teams' tight ends if the matchup looks good. Kelce showed this past week how a tight end can pick us apart over the middle, and I think having Mayo and Collins blitz more often will help our pass rush."
Yep.
"That's two games in a row that we haven't had a consistent pass rush. I think right now Jones is a sack-a-game player. I've been underwhelmed so far by Ninkovic. I'm a little nervous about how much playing time Wilfork might end up getting. With Salinga down, he might get more playing time. If only we had another good option at that position. Oh, wait, we did. Tommy Kelly. I think this will be a bounce-back week for the Patriots. They are competitive and only lose by 7.
You know who's more snarky than Paul? All of our listeners.
No. People on the internet are snarky. You know who? I just want to reiterate. I didn't think Brandon Browner was all that good.
What do you think would happen if Brandon Browner recovered Kelce the other night?
I think he would have given up a lot of...
Because he's a tight end in name only.
Right.
That guy. He wouldn't have been able to handle him.
And people are saying Browner and everything's going to be fixed. Or whatever. I thought Browner was not very good this
I have
summer.
A question for you with Browner. And
what about?
More of a football kind of thing. You've been in defensive huddles.
Should I call Andy Gresh?
Maybe. Okay, we have all this talk about Revis plays all this zone. Too much zone.
Too much zone.
If you're playing Revis man-to-man, does that have to affect everybody else? Or can he just have one guy and everybody else can be playing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's high-level stuff. You don't do a lot of that at the NESCAC level.
Okay, so it wasn't a dumb question.
No. But,
yeah, in other words, everybody says Browner kind of has to be playing man. He doesn't play any zone.
Yeah, but
so now if Brown is there and now you have Revis, now you can play zone. You can play man.
Yeah, but the problem is...
But you could do whatever you wanted with Revis, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of what I thought.
The problem is the whole... Now we get back to, okay, we're going to play man. Well, are we playing man where we match up Revis with the best, or are we playing man left-right? Because Browner, you know, God forbid Browner moves sides because Browner doesn't move sides.
That's another part of the equation that I wasn't really even thinking of, but that's another problem is... If you're going to have him match up with A.J. Green and all Cincinnati has to do is put A.J. Green in motion and now he's on Browner.
Right.
you know, great. He's taking, you know, Marvin Jones out of the game or Mohamed Sanu.
We'll let him throw.
Let's see.
And Rivas can't get any pressure on the passer. It's always screwed.
Donnie writes in, he's serving in Japan on the USS George Washington.
Thank you for your service.
Sorry, I had my head turned.
Eric was so thankful for your service, he was watching TV and ignoring you.
He yawned.
Love the show, guys. Nice to always listen when I'm home off the boat. Listen, sometimes you're flush and sometimes you're bust. And when you're up, it's never as good as it seems. And when you're down, you never think you'll be up again, but life goes on. In all honesty, there seems like a lack of leadership Lord. Out there. You need that guy that gets in other people's faces. At the same time, you have to lift people up on their failures. Got to have that balance. That goes when you're doing well and when you're sucking.
That's what Slater said.
That's from the coaching staff down to the practice squad. Just can't have another game where in the first quarter they have that deer in the headlines look. Oh, and did Solder get the number of the busty chick in the third row he was staring at when Brady got strip sacked? Because I can't imagine what else he was looking at.
No, see, that again, does nobody give anything of that on the snap count and the situation?
I do.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in a loud environment
where you let the guy
off the ball. Now, maybe he got lucky. Maybe he just flat out guessed and he got lucky and that should have been. But you put Solder in it. Now, don't get me wrong. He got way out over his toes, bent, terrible. But he was set up to fail there by Brady in the situation.
It's rare that you see a guy on the move before the ball is snapped.
Yeah. Right.
And he was not offside.
He wasn't offside. No, people were complaining about that at the time.
No, but he got a good start.
He did.
He did. And that's on Brady.
But it wasn't a penalty.
He was
Nate
moving Solder forward can't do before anything the ball about that. Snapped, right. But he wasn't in the neutral.
That's on 12.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he wouldn't say that.
All right.
Go back and look at the
team
film.
Game.
Wills.
All right. Listen, if you're calling in, hang on or call back for John Rook.
Do some lightning round.
Yeah, let's do lightning round. The Michael Hawley lightning round.
I don't know if our callers are ready for that.
Go, lightning round. Do it. Let's try it.
No.
Embrace the stupidity.
What was the first hour and a half?
Oh. No, I don't. You know, I'd rather have him stay on and talk to John and talk at length with John.
All right.
Okay.
All right. All right,
God forbid we have fun.
We have to go around the NFL right now. And, Paul, I understand no one had a good week last week.
No, it was another bad week. Eric and I set the pace at 8-5.
Oof.
Terrible.
Oof.
Terrible. Andy, you were 7-6. Fred, you were 6-7.
Mm.
With the spread, somehow Fred did better with the spread than he did in flat numbers. But Fred and I tied at 7-6. And
he's got like his dictator wave.
Right.
I don't even
the princess.
I went 7-6 to lead the way. I don't have the heart to do the Fred Kirsch queen wave. And Eric and Andy went 5-8.
Ooh.
For the season.
For the season. Fred has surrendered the top spot to Eric. Eric is 39-22.
That's embarrassing.
Which is a terrible record. Fred is 38-23, which is
yours.
A little bit more terrible. And then Andy and Paul are tied at 36-25, which is even more terrible.
It's because you keep the book.
Than Eric.
It's true. I'm really beating him, but he didn't want to be in last place.
I simply want to know why, if I were keeping the book and cheating, I would be in last place every
Well, you wouldn't make it obvious.
I don't want to make it obvious.
You have to make a dramatic comeback at the end of the season.
Smart cheating is what you're talking about.
Right.
Smart. You got to be smart about it.
Exactly.
And you don't fix it till late in the year.
You work dramatic comeback. Yeah. Oh, there's no way he'll come back. Wow, he went 4 weeks in a row undefeated.
With the spread, Fred maintains the lead at 34-27, followed by Eric at 32-29. Followed by
Andy.
Paul. Paul.
Oh, son of a bitch.
30-31. And Andy, 29-32.
Hey, Freddie, we're over 500 with the spread.
I tell you.
That's
good.
You make a lot of money in Las Vegas being over 500.
What the hell are we doing here then?
Most success I've
ever had
with a spread.
Based on the way the season has gone in the first month, I would say anything over 500 with the spread is good.
Kind of true.
I'm only one game under.
That's good.
30-31.
Yep.
And even Andy's only three games under.
Okay.
Did hit.
One game behind me.
Matthew Slater did tackle well.
Matthew Slater, a very good
run.
He's had a very good season, actually.
Very good.
Might want to keep an eye out for that next week's PFW. Matthew Slater punt coverage.
Very excited.
Might be on the cover.
Depending on how things go Sunday night.
Yeah.
Someone special. All right. Tonight, will we be watching Minnesota at Green Bay, Paul?
I would imagine the rest of the country will be. I won't be.
Paul doesn't like football.
Paul doesn't like football.
I don't really like
or sports.
I don't really like the Thursday
night.
I'll be watching. I love sports. I'll probably be watching
some baseball.
And everybody
Pac-10
else,
gymnastics.
Everybody else will be actually. There's Oregon, Arizona, I believe tonight that I might.
Okay. Gymnastics probably at like 10.
Yeah, I would be much more interested in that than this. Green Bay by 9.
Green Bay by 9. Over who?
Minnesota.
See, you don't pay attention.
Yeah, right.
I just like football. I watch any football. Green Bay by 9 over Minnesota. Who's playing quarterback?
Teddy B.
Is he? He's okay.
Well, I saw him getting on the plane, and he looked okay.
You saw him getting on the plane? Yeah.
He can assess things, but I can't.
You traveled with the Vikings?
No, but there's a thing called video.
I will go, I don't know, probably shouldn't put too much into a one-week performance by the Packers in their offense, but I think they make it a two-week performance. I think Aaron Rodgers is rounding into form, and I don't really think the Vikings are all that good.
And it's in Green Bay?
That is correct.
Yeah, I will take them to win by 10. So, yes, give me the Packers and the points.
Yeah, I will. Excuse me for my Fred Kirsch moment right there. I will take Green Bay as well. Big.
Division game, Green Bay wins, but they do not cover. That's why I'm leading in the spread.
Really?
Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Chicago at Carolina.
Carolina by 2.5.
This is a tough game. Tough one.
This is a tough one. Two middling teams.
Two bad teams.
He thinks everybody who's not great is bad. There's a middle
class. Chicago has good talent, but I think they're decimated on defense.
They lose
all those starters on defense in 4 weeks. It's hard to be good.
I didn't think their defense was going to be all that good to start with.
I know.
It's going to be about their offense.
That makes them a bad team.
When their receivers dominate and Cutler puts up big points, they'll win. They remind me of a team around here. They have receivers.
The Red Sox?
I'm going to go with Carolina at home.
I am going to disagree. I will go with the better quarterback, and I still think that's Jay Cutler.
Good bars
and
in Charlotte.
I think the Bears are a slightly better team. I'm going to pick them again.
I actually agree with Eric. I think that Chicago is a slightly better team, and even though they're on the road, I am going to go with the Bears.
I like the Bears, too.
The Bears.
I didn't think you guys would, but I do. Houston at Dallas, Sunday at 1.
I like when we surprise them.
Houston at Dallas.
Dallas by 5.5. The suddenly red-hot Cowboys.
Right.
How about them Cowboys?
The battle for the Lone Star
Dallas
State.
Dallas by 5.5.
I'm just going to go with DeMarco Murray. They continue to run the football. You know, he probably won't. Did you see who he's with? The four people who started a season with 400-yard games. And it's O.J., Emmett, Jim Brown, and DeMarco Murray now.
Oh, one of these things just doesn't belong.
Do you
belong.
Know how many states have two NFL teams, two or more.
Two or more?
Yeah.
Three.
Florida, Texas, California.
Oh, Missouri's a sneaky one. Missouri's the sneaky
five, right. Actually.
New Jersey?
Total.
New Jersey, yeah.
Well,
New York. Or six now?
Oh, one of those states has.
Yeah.
But according to you, they don't, because there's the New York Giants and the New Jersey Jets.
That's correct.
Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about them.
Yeah.
I'll take the...
they're not really part of the NFL.
They're really not. I'll take the Cowboys. I would like to take Billy O'Brien, but Cowboys are putting up some numbers right now. They have good talent, and I just can't pick that guy with a quarterback beard.
Yeah, he does look kind of...
ridiculous.
Ridiculous, but
Brett Kiesel.
Yeah.
I will take...
It's okay for a defensive lineman.
Exactly.
The home Cowboys to win, Paul. However, I like the fight in Billy O'Brien's Texans. I will take the points.
Billy O'Brien.
I'm going to roll the dice and take the upset.
Oh,
I'm
going to
take Houston
huh?
here. I think their defense has played well, and I think they will stop DeMarco Murray enough to put the game in Tony Romo's hands, and we all know what happens then.
Even after he dissed you in his coach's questionnaire?
He did.
Billy O'Brien.
Blew us off.
He dissed you?
Really?
The smartest football writers he's met. He said John McClain and Mike Reese.
Wow.
No love for Paul
no
Perillo.
Love for Paul and Andy.
Wow.
And Paul has been bobbing that schlong for forever.
But that's pretty amazing.
All the way.
What?
I don't think you.
What you said was not
right. I don't think
right.
You could say that.
Oh. Did you know you can't. If you say what I just said, suck a blank, they bleep out the suck and the blank on TV?
Oh. Okay. Because it's the idea that they want to get rid of.
Right, I guess.
Yeah.
Because
you find that somehow.
Well, I mean, you can say suck.
Yeah,
right. But when you're talking about something
now
specific,
now you're talking about an act.
Right, I guess.
Right.
I
mean, they want to get rid of the whole act, not just the word.
What if it meant lollipop? That's what you do with a lollipop.
But then it would be suck a lollipop.
Yeah, but
cock and take.
There are other phrases that you know,
right,
don't include.
That there's no reason to bleep it then.
No, I know, but you're saying they want to get rid of the whole expression, but there's more. That's not the only thing you can suck on.
I don't know. Listen, it took us about 5 years, but we finally sucked Eric into our buffoonery.
The vortex. All right. I'm with you, Paul.
Okay.
I'm going with the upset.
That's
Houston.
The only thing you can suck on.
J.J. Watt's having an...
unfortunate.
Do you see that he has more pressures than, like, teams?
Right.
To me, he's been this dominant for 3 straight years.
Like, yeah.
The team has risen and fallen and all that. He is just by far... the best player. He's so fun to watch. Everything about him.
He had something like 9 quarterback pressures last week.
He's ridiculous.
He really is.
Think of that stupid game here where we blew them out of the water and he ran down the field and punched the ball out like he's, yeah,
and
he's
Madden,
Superman.
He's unbelievable.
Unless you don't play him enough and then he gets down.
Yeah. Unless he gets very, very sad.
We're only kidding.
Not really.
I'm not.
Buffalo at Detroit, Sunday at 1.
By 7.
Detroit. Buffalo at Detroit.
You talk about a quarterback with a bad look.
How long? 7? Oh, yeah, that's easy. The Bills are done.
Yeah. Have you seen Orton with that mustache?
Plus, he was a douchebag to reporters. God forbid they ask a question that was legitimate.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins, he commands the huddle much better than he
right.
did Emmanuel first, like the first
right.
day.
Paul?
It's like the ship is sinking.
Paul, a quarter into the season, the Lions...
They haven't burned us
they
yet.
They haven't burned us yet, so I'm going to stick with them. They're going to win big over the Bills, Bills.
I agree, although I just never feel good picking that team. But I will... this is more about what I think of Buffalo than what I think of Detroit.
I'm with Detroit, too. Baltimore at Indianapolis, Sunday at 1.
It's a good game.
We can watch it.
Indy by 3.5.
Indy by 3.5. Baltimore at Indianapolis. The Steve Smith Senior Show rolls on in.
Little cat fight going on between John Harbaugh and Chuck Pagano.
Yeah, I know about the crowd noise.
Crowd noise being piped
again
in.
Again with the piping in?
Oh, did Harbaugh say they piped in sound?
He said something and Pagano got really upset about it.
Well, why did
offended
he say
by
that?
It.
Do they pipe in sound?
You've accused him of it for a decade.
Always said it was a myth, but if it's true, I'm going to go back and revisit that and say in 06 we should have won that game because they piped in sound and heat.
This organization doesn't want people revisiting history.
Why don't we let history
stand and let's just move forward? As Mark McGwire said, we're not here to talk about the past. I'll take the Colts. I'm still not a buyer of the Ravens, and I'm still not a buyer that Steve Smith. This whole thing, he made me laugh out loud. You guys saw that video, I'm sure, where he told everybody to go back to Carolina and mow his lawn and keep his house looking pretty. And then he even made me laugh when he said they gave him the game ball, and he said, an old man played a young man's game today, so we all better go ice up. He can even kind of poke fun at himself.
Love the ice up sun line.
I do like Baltimore overall long term, but I think tough to ask them to go into Indianapolis and win. I think the Colts will... It'll be close, but Colts will win by like 7.
I'm going to take the Colts, too. I think they sort of figured it out a little bit. Offensively, they've been much better the last couple of weeks, admittedly against bad teams. This will be a bit, and I am a believer in Baltimore. I think they've gotten a lot better on defense than they were 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. And they're trying to figure it out on offense a little bit. I think this is a good matchup for Indy because their defense won't be as exposed as it normally is. I like the Colts at home.
I like the Colts, too.
Why can't we get a coordinator like Dean Pease?
Let's see. Pittsburgh at Jacksonville, Sunday at 1.
Nothing. Good job, Lobie.
Pittsburgh at Jacksonville.
Pittsburgh by 6.
Ugly game.
Yeah, that's an ugly game. I'll be rooting for Jordan Todman.
I'm going to have a hard time with this one. I'm going to have to stray away from my formula.
Yeah.
Two crap teams take the home.
You've already strayed away from it.
I know.
You've already strayed away from it. You said both Chicago and Carolina suck, and you took Chicago.
Yeah.
When you think everybody sucks, you have issues.
I went with the team over... that I thought was better.
You said when there's two crap teams
take the home team. I
you didn't.
Yeah, well, maybe I should get back to it. I wouldn't be 36-25.
Well, Chicago really doesn't suck, but they're on the Patriots' schedule, so when the Patriots beat them, they can say, well, they suck.
Fred, what's their record?
I'm only kidding. Paul, don't get defensive.
They suck.
Don't get defensive.
I'm taking Pittsburgh, Paul.
They're a 500 team. You both took Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yes.
I will take Pittsburgh as well.
Me too. All right, Tampa Bay at New Orleans, Sunday at 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm. 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 It's tougher than it should be.
Paul doesn't have this game.
Tampa
forgot that
at
one?
New Orleans. Where is Tampa at New Orleans?
Why don't we come back to that one?
Kevin!
Kevin!
T. Tampa at New Orleans.
We need Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
Why do I not have that? I remember reading it.
He was so scared he was ready to hit the Chargers sound effect. That's like his reaction. He's Pavlovian, whatever.
I hear a lot
John
of
Rook, New Orleans by 10.5.
You know, the guy who hosts a show after us, he does a crossover.
New Orleans by 10.5.
Oh, you know what? I screwed something up here.
Uh-oh.
Bleeping monkey.
Yeah. I screwed something up here.
It's John right. Paul.
Go with it.
Well, we'll go
half.
With 10.5.
I'll take the Saints.
This is a very rare.
I'll take them to cover. I don't like the Bucs, and the Saints suck, so I'll take the sucky home team to cover.
Well, that's the I'm using that reasoning, but I'm going to do differently. I'll take the Saints to win, but I'll take the Bucs in the cover. Because
it's probably right.
Yeah, that seems right, but don't the Saints have to at least at one point this season play well?
And this feels like a bully game where Rob Ryan can get somebody flying around and he'll be beating on his
chest. I'm
going to
lay the points, too.
Get a couple turnovers.
That wild hair flying all
over
the place.
Yeah, I'm going to take the New Orleans, but I think Tampa Bay covers because of Mike Lennon.
Is he playing?
Yeah, he's been playing.
Oh.
Last week.
Atlanta at the Giants, this. Sunday at 1.
I know
1.
You won't.
Atlanta at
Yeah,
the
I need
Giants.
The spread on this one, too, because something tells me I have the wrong number.
How many games did you miss?
I didn't miss it, but I have minus 10, and something tells me that was the Saints spread, and I was looking at Tampa and New Orleans.
Kevin, Atlanta at the Giants.
Can you at least pretend that you care about what you're doing for a job?
He's talking to the next show's host and planning their 2 hours.
I know.
Yeah, we're talking about guests.
There's a live
guest.
There's a live show going on.
And the heat.
And I had to go through puberty.
Stay away from him.
I had to go through puberty and talk about guests.
Giants by 4.5.
4.5.
4.5. Wow.
Who?
Giants have come back, huh?
Giants Atlanta. Over Atlanta by 4.5 at home, I assume.
Yes.
MetLife.
Tough one.
I'm going to go with the Perillo theory and take the home team.
I'm going back to my theory in this game as well.
I don't believe in the Giants. They've had a nice little comeback run, but I'll fall into the trap with the Falcons. I'll take them to win on the road.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
And Fred, I can do it for this game because neither the Giants nor the Falcons are on the Patriots schedule, so I can legitimately say they stink with no ulterior motive.
That's right. So you're taking
the Giants.
I'm taking Atlanta.
Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
St. Louis at Philadelphia, Sunday at 1.
Eagles by 7.
St. Louis at Philadelphia. I will go with Philadelphia to bounce back. I'm going to guess LeSean McCoy doesn't have like 17 yards rushing in this one. But that is a good defense. What's his name? I don't even know the guy's name.
It's Austin Davis.
Him. I'm not going to pick Austin Davis all year.
But you know what? Austin Davis will probably go up by double digits, and then the defense will lose it, and Philadelphia will win and cover, as they usually do.
Or want to do.
I like the Eagles as well. I think that was a bad, bad offensive performance. They don't have two of those in a row.
Yep. Eagles win this game. All right. Cleveland at Tennessee, Sunday at 1. Cleveland.
Tennessee by 1.
Tennessee.
I believe I'm straying from my theory again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bernard Parlett said he wouldn't even root for this team, speaking of his own team, Tennessee.
He's still in the league?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he root for his team?
He said they stink.
What?
Yeah, he said that.
That's just a veteran defensive back thing now, I guess. You know, Charles Woodson, Bernard Parlett, you just say, we stink.
We're piss poor.
I am still going to take the home team. I'm going to stick with Paul Perillo's great theory.
I'm not. The Browns have shown me enough toughness so far this year. The Titans have not. I'll take the Browns to win on the road.
Big upset here. I'm going to go with the the Browns.
Me too. Brownies. All right. Now we move to the afternoon, later afternoon, Sunday 4:05, Arizona at Denver.
Denver by 7.
This could be a good game.
Arizona at Denver.
Denver by how much, Paul?
7.
Yeah, this would be a very intriguing game in Arizona, in Denver. I will take the Broncos to win and cover.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that obviously the Cardinals have the great Tommy Kelly on defense.
Yes. Yeah. I will take the Broncos to win and cover as well. Might be a late cover, but I'll still take it.
Those count, you know.
Yeah.
I'll take it as well. Both teams coming off a bye, but I will still lay the points. Denver.
This is an interesting game. I'm going to go with Arizona.
Oh, yeah, this is a surprise.
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Really surprising.
Peyton's on the decline.
Why?
No, actually, he isn't. The only Hall of Fame quarterback on the decline seems to be the one here.
All right. Now, Sunday, 4:25, the New Jersey Jets at San Diego.
Sandy.
Chargers
now you
by
can get
six
ready.
And a half. Yes, Kevin. Chargers by 6.5.
I will take the Chargers to win and cover. I'm just going to stick with the Wilson Hart Power Index, and they are tied atop the rankings.
By 6.5?
6.5.
That's it? Oof, they're going to be a lot of dancing in San Diego. You're going to be playing this song a lot on Sunday.
A lot of flamboyant dancing.
And sucking.
Easy. Jeez. Can't say that.
I will take the Chargers. I think the game will be relatively close, but I'll take the Chargers to win in cover.
Me too. I'll go with the Chargers.
So you can say both words put together, and I can't say one?
What words?
I didn't Andy has already established that he can say things that
right.
really you shouldn't.
You just, I won't even
yeah,
get into
bother.
Why.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you guys listen to Minahan this morning when they were talking about, they were basically saying if you don't play football and should you play football, and Jerry says it's the greatest thing ever. And some guy called in and Minahan went on this, you're right, your balls are bigger than mine, you got 12 inches hanging between, I am not a man, I'm just gay because I don't play football. And he went off on this rant and they were like, well, at least we know the open for tomorrow when we'll be looking for a new co-host because you're suspended again. It was
our
radio,
show
though.
Should make cocks bigger.
But even he doesn't say what you said.
All right, Sunday 4:25, Kansas City at San Francisco.
Niners by 6.
Oh, how the do return you of Alex Smith.
Let down.
Right.
Yeah. Think this is a letdown game
well,
for your
yeah,
Chiefs?
They won the Super Bowl, and now,
geez.
And on the other side of the ball, you got a team in turmoil.
Hangover.
A little
Hangovers.
Bit. A little fighting for their four straight trips to the NFC title game reputation. I think at home, San Francisco gets it done.
I do. I think this is going to be a close seesaw battle, though. I think Kansas City, despite the hangover, is going to keep it close. Alex Smith has a little motivation going back to San Francisco.
Yep.
Niners to win, and the points again, Paul, were
6.
No, I'll take the points. Chiefs will make it close.
Okay.
I will take the Niners for the exact opposite reason, Ms. Eric. I think the Niners know Alex Smith very well, and they know what he can do, and I think that defense is going to cause some problems for him.
I'm going to take the Niners, but I'll take the points as well. I want Kansas City to win this game, actually.
Of course you do.
I want to see the turmoil in San Francisco, because if they lose this game.
Because we don't want to just be the only ones wrapped up in
right.
turmoil.
You know,
you should also want to see Kansas City win and say, okay, it wasn't that bad. Because if Kansas City goes out and lays an egg and they can't run the ball and they look like crap, then you go,
say,
wow.
We lost that game.
Not, look, that team.
Listen,
we
I'm under,
to go to the Super
I'm Bowl under
anyway,
no,
the NFC is much
I'm
better.
Under no preconcept. You know, Kansas City's not that good. That you know, that's what made it even worse on Monday night. So I'm not saying that. Oh, they're this
Imagine
hidden
if
team.
Eric Berry were playing.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll take San Francisco, but I'll take the points.
Mike
we'll
DeVito.
We'll skip over Sunday night,
of course.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And we'll go to Monday night.
Did you do that, Paul? Did you skip over for us?
I did.
You just didn't write down any games.
I screwed it all up.
Seattle at Washington.
Seattle by 7.
Now, I know everybody's going to say, oh, Seattle doesn't play well away from home and the flying. It
That's
doesn't
bull.
Matter.
That's bull.
They're the far better football team. I'll take Seattle to win and cover.
Yes, yes, they will. They will do both.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle, too, but that doesn't mean that they play well on the road. They don't.
No.
They're
but
just playing
they will on this
but
game.
It's irrelevant.
They're
willing
another stinky team.
Yeah.
No, Seattle's a good team.
No,
Washington's
Seattle's good
Washington
team.
Good?
No, they stink.
All right.
Yeah, so what? I said they're playing another sneaky
team. No, you
team.
Said it with some snark. You said it with
like,
snark.
You should know.
Exactly.
All right.
Yes, Mike.
Is All that right. what you'll be doing later?
Probably not.
Filling in for Tony?
Everybody's taking Seattle.
Obviously, yeah. Mike. They had to pay for the windows in the new addition.
All right. Now we go back.
That's all irrelevant.
To Sunday
Money
night.
Money grows on trees.
Cincinnati at New England. Paul?
Cincinnati by 1.
Wow. Ooh. It's going up.
Home
opened Patriots by 2.5. It is now Cincinnati by 1.
Dog, that doesn't happen
What's
too often.
Home dog,
third time I believe.
What are the others
in the last like 10 years?
What do we got? 12 years.
12 years.
12 years. 2005. The Colts were a favorite here in Foxborough and decimated the Patriots 40-21. And last year against Denver, the Broncos were a 1-point favorite. The Patriots won 34-31 in overtime.
Well, guess what?
According to Mike Reese.
I'm going to say that the trend continues, and the Cincinnati Bengals get an early lead. Cincinnati outscoring its opposition in the first half, 45-3.
Whoa.
Patriots go 3 and out every time they start a game.
Whoa.
That's a bad combination. I think the New England Patriots are going up against a talented football team that believes in itself and is driven to kind of get their reputation off their back. I think that's the quarterback. I think that's the coach. I think that's the team. They think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So whether the Patriots suck or not, for them, going into Foxborough is a message game, and they're looking to send a message coming out of a bye. I think they get the job down and win.
Think we'll get 3 feet of snow?
No, doesn't look good.
Not going to help us
because they
anymore.
Win in the snow all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah, even with half the team not practicing yesterday, I think the Bengals are still the better football team at this point. They're going to come in. I think Andy's right about the attitude, the chip on their shoulder, and they're catching New England, I think, at the right time. Cincinnati wins.
Everything that they said is right. This is a game, if you're good, if you're a good team, you need to come here and win this game. You have a wounded, proud team in the Patriots. You're coming off a bye. You're 3-0. You have the more talented roster. The only way you lose this game is if you're not mentally prepared to win it. As, you know, kind of a twist on your thing, Andy, Freddie.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for the Bengals not to win this game. I have to take the Bengals.
All right, and I'm going to take the Bengals. All right, John.
Oh! Whoa! What, no explanation?
Wow.
What?
That was good.
No, I have to pick the Bengals.
Why?
He thinks the Bengals are better.
The Patriots, I do think they're better right now. And you know, usually if there's a reason, if there's any doubt, I'll take the Patriots.
So there's no doubt in your mind?
No doubt in your mind.
I have no doubt that the Bengals are better. No doubt that the Bengals are better.
That hurts,
Of course the Patriots could do something.
No, turnovers, whatever.
Right, right. But the Bengals are no doubt a better team.
No doubt the Bengals under Marvin frickin' Lewis and Andy frickin' Dalton.
How could you not say that right now?
No, I know. I agree with you. I picked the Bengals. But to say it, those are two guys that we mock for their mediocrity, for their inability to kind of take that next step. And you're saying there's no doubt they're better. Yeah. That's an alarming acknowledgement.
I mean, virtually any other coach and quarterback at the helm of this particular team, I would be wagering money on this game. But those two pieces that Andy just mentioned have said, so you're saying there's a chance.
Right.
I think the Patriots have a chance because of that.
Right. Now, having said that, I think it will be a competitive game. I don't think the Patriots are going to get blown out. I don't.
Probably not. Bengals aren't really a blowout team either.
They're not.
That's true.
They're a run-first team. Yeah. They try to right now, the way they've been doing it, they're trying to keep it out of Dalton's hands. They want to play to their defense.
Of course, I'm not sure the Chiefs are a blowout
team. I think it might be one of those games that the score might not say blowout, but
domination.
It might be a blowout.
Yeah, I don't think I don't agree with that. I think at the end of the game, we'll say, all right, the Patriots played pretty well. They were just outmatched. And so we'll build on that going
forward.
So
since you didn't use my PFW.
I don't think the Patriots will have a chance to win at the end of the game.
Okay.
If they do, then I think that means Cincinnati.
And if it's not because of turnovers.
Yeah, well, why I've said it.
Cincinnati doesn't turn the ball over, and if they don't, they're going to win. No question.
I agree.
They've turned it over once.
You look at me like I don't agree with you. I just
picked
the Bengals.
He picked the Bengals.
I picked the Bengals.
So can we use my cover words this week?
Fred picked the Bengals.
You didn't like Monday Nightmare. Can we use Sunday Nightmare?
All right, John Rooks here with the playbook. Hey, John.
Hey,
Thursday Nightmare coming.
How's your week been going?
It's been going actually pretty well, all things considered. The world is not coming to an end. The sun will come up tomorrow.
Right.
Just not on this dynasty.
Probably not.
Well,
probably not.
It'll be a slow rise for the sun, but we'll get back there. We'll get back.
Where's there?
Back to elite status.
Really?
Yes.
This year?
You didn't sound like that the first 2 hours of the show.
We'll be there. All right, John, have a good show.
Thank you.
Pre-game social starts at what, 6:15?
6:15.
6:15 on Sunday.
Yes.
And as far as this show, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.